Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Well, look at you!
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. My name is powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Kirkland, and I'm on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and I do want to have his baby.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. We're global. How are you, Diane? How are you, Carrie?
I'm good. Awesome.
Oh, cool. Okay, we're going to get right to it. Kelly talked to me about, I talked to my friend Vinny. Davingo, and that's D as in dinero, Vingo. I talked to Kelly, and they both said the same thing. So what's going on with the show today? And I said, I don't know. It usually will come to me within 10 minutes of the show. Guess what? Today it didn't come to me. So you know what we're going to do, guys? Anything goes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no, we can't play this shit. We can't play old shit.
That didn't take her long.
I know. She's the reigning champion of old shit. Oh, my God. No, that threw me off. Okay,
oh, shit.
I'll make the announcement. I know. I'll make the announcement. Carrie, are you free Saturday night? When I say Saturday night, I'm thinking... Oh, well, Friday we can't do it because we have the business.
Friday.
People. Thursday, maybe we could do it. What's today? What about Thursday? Thursday? You think we can play old shit? Anybody want to play old shit Thursday? It has to be a night. It's a drinking game, so it should be a night.
Yeah, night. It can't be during the day.
Yeah. Saturday night, old shit, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. What do you guys say?
Okay.
Hey.
Are you, Carrie's in. Diane, are you in? How about you, bro?
Oakley Dokley.
Oakley Dokley. You got it, Oakley Dokley, neighbor. So, I'll make the announcement. This is one of the most fantastic original games that you will ever hear, and we will be looking for contestants. We're looking for two contestants to play old shit with us. All you have to do is go to actorsbreakdown.com. You'll see where it says blogs. Hit blogs. Go into find Brian Hammer Jackson. It's there. And just write in the comment. You would like to be a contestant on old shit. These are the rules. You must be it's a drinking game. You must be 21 and over. And you must like booze.
Yeah, you have to drink or you can't play.
You have to drink or you can't play. Or a variation of drinking. Carrie has her own way. Wayne D, CEO, Come Get a Record, has his own style. Usually the game will start off like this. We'll start the game. You'll hear me set the whiskey, because I'll be drinking whiskey. And when it goes bad, I'll take a sip.
That's the homebrew.
Yeah, the variation of. So usually when a game starts going bad, I'll start drinking. And usually that happens as soon as I say hello.
Yeah, about 30 seconds in.
It's like, oh, time for a drink. And then we all start drinking. Then you have to concentrate on the questions or the drunken slur who's asking you the questions.
And we can't have any honey boo-boo this time.
No, no more honey boo-boo, but we'll have a variation of honey boo-boo.
How about Myrtle Manor Trailer Park?
Oh, she'll ace that one, too. Anything to do with Duck Dynasty or things like that. We'll have NASCAR questions. We'll have political questions. We'll have trivia questions with our favorite Kim Kardashian. And we'll have a lot of questions. And it's similar like Jeopardy, but the questions can be kind of weird. For instance, if I say politics, you may think I'm saying politics. Okay, same thing to me. I haven't been drinking. And it could be name the size breast Michelle Bachman has.
Michelle Bachman?
Yeah. Or Sarah Palin. Or Pelosi. Pelosi. Kelly's already yelling at me. Do not play old shit during Monday through Friday. Okay. So, and there's money you can win. You can win money. It's not that much, but you can win money. So we're looking for two players who are over 21, who likes the taste of alcohol, and can play a game live on the air with us and go against our reigning champion, which is Diane Mears Dillon, for the game of, oh, shit. Carrie was out in the first three questions. She was so far in the hole, it was, like, unbelievable.
What do you mean three questions? I didn't make it past the first one.
Okay. It was the first game that everybody started off.
Trivia, but it was the worst trivia I ever heard.
It wasn't that bad. Everybody started off with $1,000, and by the first four questions, everybody was in a hole by $10,000. We had to stop the game and redo it.
Yeah, we had to make new rules.
We had to make new rules. Somebody has to win this.
Poor Wayne thought you were stealing money from him.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, somebody stole my money. I go, what kind of game is this? Alex never had this problem. Right, Mr. Turek? Or Trebek? My name will be Alex Turek. So I have Turek's during the whole day. Yeah, Turek.
I think it should be Alex Tourette.
That's it, Alex Tourette. So you may hear me just say weird things when I'm doing the question.
Only when you're doing the questions?
Yeah. Okay, fine.
You might have a few ticks.
I might have a... Exactly. So you can tell how bizarre it can be, but you can win money because we are in the up and up, and we're crazy, and you will have a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with it. I think I was hungover for 2 days, I think, during that game. And
you sobered up when?
I actually sobered up 2 days later. I was laid out on the... I mean, I was... Blah. It was just... I was a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Now, remember, I was drinking straight whiskey. I mean, from the bottle. There was no putting it in a shot glass or nothing. It was... Blah, 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 blah. And I was drinking... In fact, here's to it. Let me see what... I didn't tell you the whiskey I was drinking. I hardly have anything left. Oh, nope, I don't have it left. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Here's the whiskey I was... here's the whiskey I was drinking. I'll tell you what whiskey I was drinking. I was drinking Evan Williams Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Yeehaw.
You know what? It just got a little... Listen. You can barely hear it. There's a little... Well, maybe a shot left, and this bottle was full. Damn game. So, yeah, this game is not for pussies.
Meow.
All right, guys. Some announcements before we lose our audience. We want to welcome back Kelly, who's been on assignment. Kelly is back with us. What else do I want to say? I want to thank everybody for signing up for the New Jersey networking party, which is going to be June 22nd. We're getting more and more sign-ups. It's June 22nd, and already I think we got 64 people who confirmed, and I think Ava Lewis is telling me more and more people possible, more and more people are confirming, and these are CEOs of businesses. Carrie also has some great news regarding our business, our IBC. You can go to actorsbreakdown.com. You will see IBC there for businesses so we can help. And she has some great leads, about 14, 15 businesses who may be joining us. I want to welcome our new partner, Vinny DiVingo. We usually, as of yesterday, Vinny has been such a great friend, but not only a great friend, his numbers are so freaking high. He has an audience that are fantastic, that is fantastic. And so I've been doing our thing. I've been working with Carrie. I've been working with this, and I feel so bad. And Vinny's been just kicking ass. And I said, I got to join this guy. And so I asked Vinny, can we join you? And Vinny says, yeah, why not? So what's going on now is that any businesses who sponsor us will get a chance to also sponsor Vinny. Our promotions will always include Vinny. I'm sending our best persons, Kelly. I'm asking my other best person, Diane, and my other best person, Jeff, to include. You're my best person too, but I got to keep you, Carrie. But to also, I got to keep somebody. Carrie also falls over to Vinny in a different way because Carrie is going to be really instrumental into AEN Network. I stayed up all night redesigning it, and we're going to get great films up on there, which helps all of AEN Network, which helps Diane, which helps Vinny, which helps Jeff, which helps Kelly, which helps her, which helps Ava, which helps our business. Oh, that's it. I'm getting excited. You know, when I get excited, I go, ooh, ooh. We got a brand new thing for you businesses, if you're listening to us, and some people are. If you ever go to YouTube and everything, you guys know, and you want to see a YouTube thing, but there's a commercial and it says you can skip this ad, well, we're going to do the same thing with the AEN Network on the content of our movies and our TV shows. Our businesses now, we will place your ad on the content of the independent movies, just like a commercial. So your ads will appear on the original movie content, web series content, special features. So your ad will appear on those things on AEN Network also. What do you think, Carrie?
Awesome.
And what do you think, Diane?
Sorry,
okay.
I had you on mute.
Okay. Well, it's okay. Everybody does. So these are exciting things that are happening to us, and the reason they're happening to us is because we're growing. We are growing like a bunch of guys in a whorehouse pants. We're getting really big. Silence.
Hey, speak for yourself. I don't grow like that.
I know. This is the part where we just don't say anything. Let him hang himself. I want to thank you people who believe in us. I want to thank you people who invested in us. And when I say us, you're investing in Brian Hammer Jackson, you're investing in Vinny DiVingo, and you're investing into 30 other people who are working so hard to not only trying to get the word out, we are going to expand ourselves to authors and book authors and self-publishers and things like this. We're going to be the best network. I vowed it took us a little longer. I said we'll do it in 6 months. Okay, it took us a year and a half. But you know what? We are finally growing. We're growing as fast as a woman with an A cup going into a plastic surgeon, and she comes out with triple D's. That's how big we're going to be.
Damn.
Thank you. Finally, something from the choir. Amen, sister.
And it had to deal with breast disease.
It did. Apparently, the penis growing meant nothing to the women. Dieting crickets. But when I do it with breast disease.
Touch it. What good is it?
And that is from a public service announcement from Carrie from Brian the Hammer Jackson Show on men and why we love them.
Yes, that's why we love them.
Because we can't touch it. We can't touch it. What good is it?
That's right.
Thank you. I must really be excited. That was a double one. And I am excited. That's worth two boners in one.
As long as it doesn't pop, we're doing fine.
What is with you today, Carrie? What did you take today? As long as it doesn't pop, it's fine. I am really surprised a church-going woman like you.
Who said I go to church?
You know, I can't even save you. Let's give Jesus a try.
Yeah, well, he kind of gave up on me too, but oh well. That's just life.
Oh, my God. We will have an intervention before oh, shit, for Carrie. I love you, Carrie, and I like it. I like it. All right, kids.
Out of that closet.
She's out. She's out, baby.
What closet? Whose closet was I in?
If you don't know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I must be in a really good mood today or something.
Jeez. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Hammer is going to take a break now. It's now the Carrie Brooks Show. Take it away.
Oh, hell no. What's our subject today?
I don't get... I love you, Carrie.
I love you, too.
Carrie, and for you being in such a great mood, please introduce our new sponsors today. This week,
Max Ivy with
yes.
MidwayMarketplace.com.
There you go, sweetheart. And you know, and you have talks with Max personally, and the kind of man Max is. Again, the reason we do the small businesses is the heart of the guy. It's the heart of the business, people. And Carrie, you have had dealings with Max. I have my opinion of Max, and I love the man to death. What is your opinion of Max by doing business with him?
Max is a great guy, and he actually is more interested in helping people than anything. And about anything that would have to do with circus or small carnivals or big carnivals or, you know, rides in general, anything like that. He buys, sells, trades. He'll go and do estimates, appraisals.
He will. He is
about
one.
About anything you need. Max is the man to help you with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he is. And not only that, Max is from Texas. And when I say that is I have so much respect for the Texas people. We had a president came from Texas, didn't we?
Yeah. Who was that? I'm sorry.
Wow.
God, I got to behave today. What the hell's wrong?
It's too late. The floodgates are open.
I
that
know.
Exactly. The Jewish people are running to the oceans. Uh-oh. Letters. And by the way, I'm on that. Happy Passover today to my Jewish friends.
When's Passover?
I think Passover was Sunday, but happy Passover. Hope you had a good one.
No, I think it was yesterday.
Oh, was it? Okay, happy Passover yesterday. I lost it. I used to, my ex-girlfriend was Jewish for 10 years, and I knew all the holidays. I knew everything what they did. I even spoke Yiddish for about maybe a year straight. I didn't even know. I understood what they were saying, and I felt like I was a Jewish person. And it was a good relationship. And now I have a good fortune to talk to my friend who's Italian, and now I feel like I'm Italian. Vinny DiVingo has introduced me to a lot of great guys who are Italian. I didn't really have much experience with Italians. I really didn't. And then I got to know Vinny, and I listened to his show religiously. He has a great show, and I hear the guys who call in. And now I get, you know what? I'm beginning to think, screw Sicily. If you really want a true Italian, go to Jersey. That's Italian.
That's our local Italian.
That's Italian. Jersey is Italian. But I got the pleasure of talking to Vinny and listening to his show and listening to his friends, and they're great people. Again, going back with Max, I want to thank you, Max, for being a sponsor of the Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. I know he listens. He's been telling his friends to listen. Bless your heart. And it's called MidwayMarketplace.com. Please go. He's helping people buy, sell, and trade their new and used amusements. These are concessions and confections equipment, and also offering appraisals and a wealth of links to the amusement industry. And that's Max Ivory, Ivy. And please contact Max, and you can contact Max by two ways. One, going to his website, which is MidwayMarketplace.com, or you can contact him at his office, which is area code 936-273-6960. I'm not going to give his cell. He's such a nice man, such a trusting man. I won't give his cell. Call him at the office, and you can't call him at the office. Please contact him. Go to his website and contact him. Again, his office number is 936-273-6960. That's Max Ivy, and the MidwayMarketplace.com is where you go. And you can buy, sell, trade new and used amusement concessions and confections equipment, also offering appraisals and a wealth of links to the amusement industry. Support Max. I support him. He supports us. And he's a really nice guy. I can't say enough about him, because if I say anything more about him, he's going to think I'm gay, and he'll run away from me.
Yeah, quit running him off, would you please?
I know. I'm trying. I've got control of it. He's just a lovable guy. You just want to hug Max. Nothing wrong with that.
We can't forget Lonnie Taylor.
Oh, she's next.
Okay.
And like Diane says, Diane, would you like to introduce Lonnie Taylor?
Yes, Lonnie Taylor is a author. She wrote a book called What's the Best That Can Happen? And you can reach Lonnie Taylor at LonnieTaylor.com. That's L-O-N-E-E Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R.com.
And her book is, and we had the pleasure of talking to Lonnie last week. She came on our small business show, and we had the pleasure of talking to her, and she's one of us. She's a very, you know, because we're all beautiful. Not only that she's beautiful, let's forget that. She's a mother. And the reason we're talking about businesses and the reason we have an edge is because we want you to know the heart of the business person, man or woman. And Lonnie Taylor wrote a book, a very important book, and I think it's on sale for $14.95. And the name of the book again is, Diane?
What's the best that can happen?
That's right, and you can get that. I'm sure you can go to Amazon. I'm sure you can go to Lonnie. And how do you spell Lonnie, Jeff?
L-O-N-E-E, Taylor.
Thank you, Jeff. And that's
You're
how
welcome.
You spell Lonnie. That guy is so talented. He's a ventriloquist. He does impression sounds just like Diane, which scares me when he calls me on the phone. I am wearing nothing.
That's scary all in itself.
I go, Diane, yes. And then Diane goes, what the hell are you and Jeff talking about? What? Anyway. Lonnie Taylor, L-O-N-E-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. She wrote a book again, What's the Best, Diane, Thing That Can Happen?
What's the Best That Can Happen?
That's it. I keep putting thing in it. I keep putting my thing in it. Every time I put my thing in it, everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
That's very true. Very
thank
true.
Thank you, girls.
You're very welcome, sir.
So I will now put my thing in her.
That'd be a good thing.
Thank you. So what's the best that can happen?
Right.
Okay. And it's a spiritual book. It's a book about you reaching your goals by positive energy, about you reaching into yourself, is you realizing what you can do, the strength that you have within. This is a book that can help you reach your goals, and not only your goals, make you become a better person. And you may say, well, there's thousands of books on there. Well, the thousands of books are crap because they're not written by Lonnie Taylor.
You got to
read Lonnie Taylor. She's a mother. She has two kids. She's trying to make it, and it's rough. It's hard out there being an author. You can add in the other thing later. But doesn't take much. And you know what's going to happen. We're going to, as the week goes on with the authors, we're going to start reading excerpts from their book. So you get familiar about their reading and about the book. And Lonnie is going to be, next week she's going to come on, and she's going to be a co-host of one of my shows.
Oh, cool.
Right on.
Yeah, so you get to hear her, and you get to talk to her, hear her views, and we'll have a very interesting guest at that point to make her very uncomfortable. We'll have a guest about maybe, she's a spiritual person, educated person and everything. Okay, we'll make sure we have a really controversial guest.
We need,
Mr. Solutions or something? We'll test her out. We'll test out her interviewing skills. I look forward to that. So, again, to recap, you'll hear him at the end of the show, Max Ivy. Please go to midwaymarketplace.com, one word, and take a look at what Max has. Again, helping people buy, sell, and trade their new and used amusement, concessions, and confections equipment. Also offering appraisals and a wealth of links to the amusement industry. That's Max Ivy at the Midway Marketplace. Please visit Max. Say hello for me. If you say hello and say Brian said hello, Max will probably give you a deal. I just threw that in. I don't know if he will or not, but I just threw that in.
Just in case.
Just in case. He's in a good mood. Saying my name makes him smile or makes him pissed off, whatever the hell. You get a reaction.
Well, hopefully it's not pissed off because then he won't make any money.
Oh, Max is making money. He calls every week, and God bless him. With his personality, he cannot help making money. The guy's great, and he's detailed, and he's family-oriented. And I want to thank Ava Lewis with Chronic Behavior. Ava, thank you so much for introducing businesses to us and changing our minds that we should be, since we have a radio show, that we should be targeting businesses and get them a chance, and businesses have invested in us. And if you go to actorsbreakdown.com, Carrie has took on this champion to do the IBC, and Carrie, IBC stands for?
The Innovative Business Club. Which is,
and what is that? And what is? Let me interview you. So what's the purpose of me joining this club?
It is the newest way to do marketing and advertisement and networking with like-minded people.
Okay.
All we deal with our businesses, and we are going to help each other, refer each other, and help grow each individual person's business and have fun while we're doing it.
Good. You know, when I was a salesperson, they used to say, I applied for this job one time as a salesperson. And they said, Brian, do you know what FAB is? Does anybody know what FAB is? FAB is features, advantages, and benefits. So I'm going to ask you what the FAB is about joining the IBC. What is the feature of joining IBC?
It costs you $5 and you earn credit. And as you refer business and earn more credits, you earn airtime on the show with Brian Hammer Jackson.
That jerk off, but I like him. What is the benefit about joining the IBC?
We reach what was it, 350,000? Was
oh,
that
we got more now. The combination with Vinny, we will update it, and it grows weekly. You're absolutely right. The combination with Vinny and us and the team, we can reach well over, we're at almost 400,000, 450, I think.
Ooh, awesome.
And so you can reach well over a 500,000 people, and we can isolate the area that you really want the foot traffic to come to your business. So we do have
a
wide audience.
About being online is you can, you know, attract from anywhere, and you don't have to be there to do it because the business is going to come to you.
Exactly, and not only that's just on Blog Talk. We have a thing called Blip TV that we put out sponsorship and everything. They have a capability of reaching 24 million. We use them a lot. We also have our Twitter pages. We have our Facebook pages. I just signed up for that. I think I'm saying it right. We're using all of our social media outlets to advertise our show and advertise our people who invest in us as far as sponsorship goes and who are just friends to say, hey, how you doing, Brian? I'd like to come on a show. I got a new album coming out. I got a new agent I want to give a shout-out to. Hey, Brian, I'm looking for an agent. Can you help me out? Hey, Brian, we got a movie that's on Kickstarter. It's not doing so well. Can you give a shout-out? We have done that, and I'll go to Diane. Diane, have we helped people on Kickstarter and Indiegogo?
Oh, yes, we have.
Okay, I think three people come to mind, and how successful are we?
Very successful.
We're three for three, damn it. We help those guys go over the edge and money.
Yes, there's that three? One guy during the Sandy thing, during the
That's hurt. Right. That's an interesting story. Do you want to tell that story, Jeff or Diane?
Well, I wish I could remember his name.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I think he needed $9,000 more dollars.
Yeah.
Or it was $900 more dollars.
I think he was short $1,000 maybe. Let's just round it out to $1,000.
Yeah, and he called into the show and asked Brian to shout it out for him. And then he actually, when the hurricane hit, the only way he could call into the show was going to a local coffee shop, and he called in and had us look up his stats for him, and he had gone over.
That's
after
right.
Our listeners helped them out.
What happened was as soon as he did it, thank you, Diane, that's true. As soon as he did it, I wish I could say it. It wasn't me. Here's how, and here's what happened. Kelly says, Brian, this guy, he's it was a day. He only had 24 hours to raise $1,000, or he would lose the whole campaign. And Sandy hit. He didn't have any phone. His cell was dead. People were going to shops and everything just to charge up their cell phone. And he was waiting in line, and he finally charged. He had enough charge to call the show. And Kelly gave me the information, and basically that was what Diane said. You know, Brian, you know, I got... It was 8 hours left on his campaign or something like that. And I'm $1,000 below meeting my campaign expectations. And he was trying to raise $10,000, if I believe. And I said, okay. And so right away, before I said okay, Diane, Kelly went to work like – Diane was even on a show, and Kelly just went crazy. She was – getting everybody wherever she could do. She was posting this. She was going crazy. Kelly was doing the same thing, and she got off the air, and Kelly's little fingers all of a sudden grew like man fingers because she was typing so hard. And the guy came on the air the next day and said, thank you. We went over. We made it in time, and we went over our $10,000 campaign mark. Jeremy Wechter.
That's right.
Name. Thank you, Kelly. So Kelly, the credit I got to give to is Kelly and Diane and Jeff. Sometimes, you know, when I talk to Diane, I look at them as a team and I keep forgetting. But Jeff went on there and he started promoting, Kelly started promoting Diane. It was unbelievable. And we did it. We did it to three people and we made it, didn't we?
Yep.
Hey, Brian, weren't we able to tell Jeremy live on the show?
Later he came on live. I don't think he ever came on live, did he?
Well, yeah, when he called in and he did it, we go like, dude, here's the numbers.
Oh, that's right. He did. I'm sorry. He did. He did call in. And he said, and then he gave the thank you. He was such a polite young man. He couldn't thank us enough. And it wasn't me. It was about you guys on Facebook. It was about you guys on Twitter. It was about you guys everywhere. I don't take credit for that. You guys did it. And it was Diane. It was Jeff. It was Kelly. These guys were tired. They couldn't even, they were 3 hours of this show. Diane doesn't even want to talk to anybody. But they got a cause and they did it. All I said was, hey, if you're listening to me, help this guy out. But the work was Kelly, Diane, Jeff. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Nada.
And we did an advocate thing here on the show, too. If you have a problem, we'll call up. Vinny had a problem. We're still working on a problem. And we called up live. Diane had a problem with Walmart. We called up live. Oh, Best Buy. Damn it.
Yeah, forget Walmart. You never get anything
settled.
Yeah,
we just lost another sponsor. What you talking about, Brian? It was Best Buy. We fixed it. In fact, Diane, do you still have the number to the Catholic people that we were going to call because we have a problem with the Catholics?
Yeah, I'll find them. I have them written down somewhere.
Okay, let me know if you found them. Let's call the Catholic. Let's call the Catholic people today. I want to talk about the Pope.
Okay.
Letters.
What the Pope
do now?
Letters.
You know what? I know letters. Get your letters ready. Send it to Brian. He's going to call the Catholicholics again. I demand justice.
You want to do that right now?
You have the number?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's do a round table. Anybody want to call? Anybody has any good common sense to say, don't do this?
Don't do this.
Okay. Carrie, should we listen to her?
No, because I want, the more you talk about it, maybe something will get done about some things.
Okay. Well, two against one. It's a democracy. Let's call the Cataholics.
Okay. I mean, they may not answer because it's spring break.
Yeah, the little boys are out.
They're out. Right.
Oh, that's a long silence.
Smiling.
He's licking off my back, Jack.
I know. It's always my favorite joke. When why did a herd of priests go to the shopping mall? Because they found that little boy's pants were half off.
Now that's sad.
Okay.
Okay, and we are calling.
Yes, we are.
The church.
Right, let's be on our best behavior.
Hey, this is where Jeff was an altered boy.
He was an altered boy.
Altered boy.
That's that story that led to that romantic moment on Brokeback Mountain.
Okay, here we go.
All right, let's call the Catholics. Let's be on our best behavior. This is religious kind of thing.
Oh, man, and it's Easter, too.
Oh, that's right, the bunny.
Did we just die or what?
No, we're waiting for the dial tone. Diane says she's calling. I see the number, but I don't hear the dial tone. The number has dropped. Diane?
Thank you for calling St. Paschal Baylon. If this is a life or death emergency, please hang up and dial 551-5083. Leave a detailed message. A priest will return your call as soon as possible.
Diane, get the life and death emergency line, please. And let's call, because this is a matter of life and death. A priest's going to call us. I hope it's not that Father Sugar Britches that we heard yesterday. Brian, this is why the numbers are sagging. Knock it off. There's 1.2 billion of us, and we're not listening anymore.
Okay, I have to call it back.
All right, please call the life and death emergency line, please.
We got to call the church back first. We didn't get all the number.
Okay.
On the life and death.
Thank you for calling St. Paschal Baylon. If this is a life or death emergency, please hang up and dial 551 5083. Leave a detailed message. A priest will return your call as soon as possible. All other non-emergency calls, please dial 0 for the receptionist. Or if you know your party's extension, please press it now. For Father Dave Haney, press extension 103. For Father Enrique de los Rios, press extension 125. For Father Joe Serbo, press extension 106. For St. Pascal...
Okay, I'm going to call the other number now.
Okay. And they have other numbers, too. So if you could press a button to Father Mulcahy or something like that, that would be nice.
That's the only thing is I can't hit numbers when I call on this phone line.
Okay, I'll try to do it. Or, yeah.
I think Father Mulcahy's hung up his robe, hasn't he?
Oh, is that the guy from MASH?
Yes. I said MASH is not anymore. He gave it up.
I think he gave it up.
But I think if you call the life or death line, I think that's somebody that wants to come in and give you your last rites.
Okay, let's call that one.
Oh no.
You want to give the show the last rites?
Yeah, exactly. We're dying here. This is life and death, lady.
Oh, man.
That would be so wrong in so many ways.
It is. Do you got the number?
Yeah?
Let's call it.
Oh, my God. It's like I don't even want to dial it.
Buck up, my little Bucky Beaver.
Oh. Let me erase this number.
Okay.
Father Jay.
Hello. Is this the Father?
Yes.
Hi, Father. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and I'm calling you because we're live on the air, and I want to congratulate you with Father Francis as the Pope. Number one reason.
That's very interesting. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. I think he's a very good choice. And Father,
the reason
I called, we have a lot of Catholics who are so happy and they're celebrating. But we're wandering in some of the church issues, and I've been listening very carefully. What are we going to do?
Could you just repeat what you said?
Yeah. We're wondering about some of the church and their issues of the church. And I'm a gay man myself, Father.
Yes, I understand.
And me being gay, Father, I like to come back to the church. I haven't been to the church in a while, because I feel that the church do not accept me being a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that you can welcome me back to the church?
What's your first name once again?
Brian.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Ryan.
You know, there's a distinction, Ryan, in my personal opinion, between a homosexual orientation and an active gay. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I'm an active gay. I mean, I've been active. I party, everything.
Yes, I know what you mean.
But, I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I miss the church. I do miss the church because of some of the social issues. I have hope now with the new Pope. I have hope with the Pope. I have hope with the new Pope. And I've been listening to a lot of things that's going on, and he's a great man and cares about animals, and it sounds like you're reaching out to a lot of social issues now.
Yeah.
And I'm one, and I've been also listening to one of the priests on CNN who are talking about the same-sex marriages and how the church views. And I've also been listening that maybe in the future, you know, priests can actually have, you know, get married. So I'm listening to all these views, and I'm thinking about I'd like to come back to the church, but I'm afraid to come back to the church because of my lifestyle.
I see. I see. Are you living with a partner? Are you living with a partner?
I'm not living with him, no.
Oh, you're not living. Okay.
I'm in the closet, Father. I'm hiding. I'm not a shouter.
Okay. So presently you are unattached, put it this way?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ryan, I see no problem in you coming back to the church.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. Put it this way. The church is God's family.
Yes.
And in God's eyes, everyone is equally important and equally loved.
Thank you, Father.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. I live in Thousand Oaks. Is there a particular church that you recommend, Father?
Please, anyone that's convenient to you, Ryan. Please. Where do you live?
I live in Burbank.
But is there a church close by?
I'm not familiar with a church close by me in Burbank, but I am familiar with a church right around the Thousand Oaks area.
Uh-huh. Good.
And they used to, if I remember right, Father, they used to have counseling. I remember, they did have a particular time where they had counseling, where you could counsel people who go to church.
Yes, I'm with you.
And so, you know, I'm wrestling with this, Father. I am wrestling with this. I mean, believe me, if I was straight, I would be okay. But I can't change who I am.
Yeah.
And I was just hoping Jesus would forgive me, and I'm hoping the church will open their doors for me to allow us to worship the Lord, being who we are.
You're very welcome. Very welcome, honestly, because this is God's house, and in God's house there's places for everyone. Okay?
Thank you, Father.
God bless you, Ryan. Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye, Father.
Oh, Lordy, you're going to smoke and turn in purgatory for that one.
Oh, I actually had a great talk with the Father. And
well, I was kind of shocked that he was actually so open.
Exactly. Exactly. And I did want to touch on a gay issue. I did want to touch on where I think the church is going towards a little bit more of a, he said the church will welcome you.
Yes, he straight up pretty much answered every one of your questions.
What do you think, Jeff?
Maybe there is hope.
Yeah, like I said, hope for the Pope.
Oh, Lordy.
What do you think, Diane?
Tell him.
Tell him.
Tell him.
Just that. Stop laughing.
Oh, there's hope for the Pope.
That's your new slogan.
Hope for the Pope.
I know. I know Diane was so great. I'm going to pee my pants, and she's been praying through the whole thing. Oh, Lord, please, please, please.
Yes, pretty much.
Well, how did I do?
From what I heard, I guess you did okay.
You're still praying, aren't you?
She is on her knees.
Stop.
Oh.
Oh, TMI.
You're no kidding.
No pun intended.
And what do you think, Carrie, how the conversation went?
Actually, it was surprisingly informative.
It very well, it is. It was. And I liked the Father. And he spoke very nice. He even asked questions, what kind of gay person I was. Was I an active one or inactive gay? And I don't know the difference, but I wanted to be an active one. Who wants to be a gay guy sitting home on a Saturday night? But I wanted to ask him some questions. And the questions and the issue was how the church is leaning, where they're going. And it does sound like they are really stepping up to the issues. Is it just me? But it sounds like they are.
No, I think the time has come where they're actually going at it instead of hiding in the closet, so to speak.
Yeah. Congratulations, Catholics. You won over me. I'm a fan. I did not want to go into the issue of child abuse. I did not want to do it because he was answering from his heart regarding the church and how they feel about the gays and what's going on now in the Supreme Court regarding equality of marriage. And whatever your belief is, it is a subject, and it's going to be in our face. And I wanted to go to the people who will affect the most. There's no... The Catholic religion is 1.3 strong around the world. And I want to welcome Mr. Wayne D. Is it? Oh, Vinny. I'm sorry. I want to welcome Vinny. Vinny to the show. Hello, Vinny. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, Brian. I can't stop laughing.
Oh, you listen to
God forbid me. You're going to go to hell.
I know it. I'm frying right now.
Oh, my God.
Brian.
Brian, you missed one important thing in that conversation.
Uh-huh.
The priest said to you, are you with someone right now? And you said no. And he said, well, then you're welcome back into the church.
Oh, that's what he said?
That's exactly what he said.
We got to call him back up. And say,
oh, no, I'm getting lost the line. I'll listen in.
Father Vinny needs to talk to you.
Hi. Ay, ay, ay.
What did you think about the conversation, Vinny, though?
Very receptive when you told him you were not with someone right now. You haven't come out of the closet.
I like the shoes.
I loved how at first you were active, and you said, no, I'm kind of in the closet. I'm not a shouter.
Yeah, I'm not a shouter. I keep it quiet.
Oh, I'm sitting here going on mud on.
I know. Please pray for me, Benny. I have sinned.
I'll pray for you, Brian. I couldn't stop laughing. I'm saying, he's not listening to what the priest is saying. He wanted to know if you were with someone actively now. You go say no, and he says, well, then you're welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Oh, you're not practicing gay now? Come on,
yeah,
down.
Really.
Now.
If you're not practicing your gayness, you're welcome to come back.
You know what bothers me? The majority of them are gay. Priests that are gay.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Please. Indeed. I mean, I just find it to be hypocritical, a double standard. And if you think that they're celibate, you got another guest coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Benny is...
And I'm Catholic. And yeah. I believe in my faith. I just don't believe in their rules.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Benny, it's interesting. Someone brought up a comment the other day. They said, well, if priests were allowed to get married, basically, I'm going to put it nicely, if they were allowed to have sex, we wouldn't have so much of this molestation. And I'm saying sex has nothing to do with molestation.
No, I agree, because it's in every religion. And
exactly.
The priests are the only ones who cannot marry. But all the other denominations are allowed to marry.
And
there's sexual abuse going on in all religions. So, you know, I don't buy that as a way to stop molestation. I just don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. But you know what?
It is a mental issue. That's another story for another time. But anyway, you need to straighten out. You need to clarify. Father, did you accept me back because I told you I wasn't actively sexual?
Exactly. We're going to have to call it back up. We got to get back. There's a whole conspiracy going on, and I didn't even know it. And thank you. And I'd like to let everybody know, this is Vinny Esposito. Vinny Esposito is not only a talented lady, as you can tell. She's been in business. Oh, man, I don't want to say it because she's a lady and I don't want to date her age.
Okay, I'm not ashamed. 11 years old. Since 11.
She's been in business since 11 years old. And we found something in common. It's a small, small world. Vinny and I got a chance to talk. And she's with Vinny D. as in De Niro, Vingo. She's working with Vinny regarding marketing and research and sponsorship and business. And you can hear Vinny on, at VINNIE, on My Cousin Vinny DeVingo Show, 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time.
She I'm not his co-host. I'm just, I call him once in a while, but I'm not his co-host.
Exactly. She's not a co-host. She calls him once in a while, but I hear her on his show. And Vinny respects Vinny so much, and I listen to her, and she has my admiration. And she has, so I talked to her off air, and we're talking because we are a business. And she was telling me her background, and we found something in common. It was so funny. You remember what we have in common, Vinny?
The recruiting business.
The headhunters.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my God! It was I used to work for a company called Mason Concepts as a headhunter.
And we had our own business called Brookdale Search Associates.
Yes, Vinny had her own business, and your husband was a headhunter.
28 years.
Wow.
28 years.
And for people who don't know what a headhunter is, would you like to explain, Vinny, what a headhunter is?
Well, they recruit for those who are looking to either leave their job to climb the ladder, or they were, you know, laid off for economical reasons, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And he specialized in the engineering field, just as you did, Brian.
As I did. I was just going, wow, you're blowing me away. I specialize in the engineering field also. And it's like, wow. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in when the time is right, you'll meet the right person. They'll take you to another level. And I think the time was right when we're doing our businesses that we met Vinny. And Vinny, I'd like to meet the person who's head of our business, Carrie. Carrie, this is Vinny Esposito.
Hi, Carrie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Hope you're having a great day.
And you too.
And Vinny is also, she has the most, you know me, it's like, okay, give her the worst job ever. Let's see what she can do. I know you look great on paper. I know you're the A-team. You have a charm that got me to make you a zucchini when you want it. But let's see how good you are. So I said, we have a problem.
Biggest job of all, right?
Yeah, the biggest, the nastiest, the most evil job ever I could think of, besides going to bed with me.
Oh, God. I can't. It's... You're gay. Great, you're gay.
I'm a guy. The next level is, let's see if we can get a venue for our New Jersey networking meeting with the corporation businesses in Hollywood people in New Jersey, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Now, I talked to Vinny, and Vinny's passion was Caesars because of the history of Caesars. I said, okay, that's going to be a difficult one. That's a challenge. Vinny is bound.
Did you get my email in regard to the last 2 days?
Oh, I know. They have been putting you, they've been making you go around and round and round and round, and it's
difficult.
Crazy.
I think my other job is much easier.
I know.
I'm just joking. But,
no, I mean, you're actually right, because how many people you already, we just started, how many people did they already pass you on to? At least 3 or 4.
Well, 3.
Oh, okay.
And I came to find out that 2 are running, it's a corporation between Caesars, Harrah's, the Showboat, Bally's, I forgot the other ones, but they own all of those casinos. So they only have 2 entertainment directors that are running, well, you know, 3 each they're running.
Okay.
That they're responsible for. But their main office, one's main office is at the Showboat, the other one, Candace, her main office is at Bally's.
Oh, okay.
And after all the phone calls yesterday, come to find out toward the end of the day, it was their day off.
Yeah.
It was their day off.
Oh, my God.
They worked all day to find out they weren't
to
working.
Find out at the end of the day it was their day off. Oh, we're sorry. They're not even in today. Ay, ay, ay. But anyway, yeah, so I'm going to get back to that, Brian, and back to my dirty job.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome. And don't
you're the only one who can do it.
Back.
You're the
call
only one.
I can straighten that out.
I'm going to tell him I'm in a relationship right now.
And see if
and I want to get in that church.
Okay. Have
love
a great
you, Vinny.
Everybody.
You thank
soon.
You for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vinny Esposito. She is our top gun. She will get the whole invitation and event relies on her cute shoulders.
Don't put that on my shoulders because I'll go after you like a cat off a hot tin roof.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'll take it off your shoulders.
Take it off my shoulders.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Vinny Esposito. She is fantastic. I love her to death. I'm going to have to call that priest back. She's right. You know who we should call up tomorrow?
Who?
We got to call up the temple. We got to talk to... We got to get into the Jewish faith now. Silence. Don't mess with the Jewish.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay, we're going to call up the synagogue tomorrow, and we're going to talk to the rabbi. So stay tuned.
Is your name going to be Brian the Hammer Jacksonstein?
Jackenstein?
This is why, which is rhymes with Frankenstein. Is that a slip, Diane?
I said Jacksonstein.
Jacksonstein. No, Smarty, it's Jacksonburg. Thank you, Diane. All right, everybody, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go over our headline news for today. And we got a lot of headline news. And, I think we left out Lenny. Did we leave out Lenny in our opening statements regarding sponsors?
Oh, yes, we did.
Okay, Lenny, our good friend Lenny, he's been sponsoring us for the last 3 months. He's been sponsoring my show, Brian the Hammer Jackson Show, as well as Vinny D. Mingo Show with New Skin, N-U-S-K-I-N, vitamins. And this is another interesting and good-hearted man who has his own business. He's competing with every vitamin company out there. He's the little guy. He is David going against Goliath. He asked for a little help. He sponsored the Brian the Hammer Jackson Show for a little bit more muscle and some juice. And with everything I got, please visit Lenny's website. Get these vitamins. These vitamins help your immune system. This is what you forget the cold D's and other stuff that give you 4 hours of relief or knock you out. And you can't even take those medicines because if you're an alcoholic, a lot of those medicines have alcohol in them. I know. I bought that instead of a bottle of booze when I couldn't afford it.
No, geez.
Thank you.
If you want Lenny's website?
Yeah, well, but if you want to save a penny, go to Lenny. Diane, Lenny's website, please.
MyIdealChoice.NSProducts.com.
And the man is serious, and the man, Vinny, was on the vitamins. I remember Vinny had a cold, whatever, and this is a true story. And Vinny was a trooper, and we're talking Vinny. Vinny was on the radio, and out here Vinny goes, Brian, how you doing? And remember the time, Diane, when we're saying when we're concerned about Vinny, we're going, Vinny, what's going on with your voice? And he just said he had a cold or something. Remember that?
Yeah, it was kind of scary that day.
And then even Vinny said on the air, he says, you know, he took some vitamins from Lenny and everything. And next thing you know, I'm hearing, Brian, forget about it. He was back.
Yeah.
He was back, or Vinny was back, and it's true. And if you listen to a show at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time, you will hear that great voice in the Vinny that we love. And he will tell you, because he took those vitamins, that it helped his voice, helped his immune system. He's got a lot more energy. He will tell you himself. It's his own testimonial.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be back, and we're going to get to our headlines, and we'll get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Brian. This is Brian the Hammer Jackson.
I said you're going to be saying this has been.
Yeah, this has been. The father's already. I'm doing penance already. I'm going to go buy some rosary wreath for Ray Ray around the corner. He has everything in his trunk. This is a song, me and Vinny. Vinny and I teamed up. Vinny has a song, Ebony and Ivory. I have a song, and this is our song, and we're coming to New Jersey, Atlantic City, you guys. We're coming June 22nd, and we'll be right back. Here we go with our crew, me, Vinny DeVingo, Diane Mears-Dillon, Jeffrey Bertrand, Carrie Brooks, Kelly Corbin, and a host of other people and celebrities will be coming to you, New Jersey.
We've been waiting for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time. But we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4.
Here's what happens. Here's when everybody starts turning off their computer saying, oh, F you, Brian. F you, Brian. Yeah, we'll keep the letters coming. I have a fear, as a Democrat, that Republicans have something up their sleeves. The Republicans have something up their... Nobody's listening to me. I told you guys to watch out for Africa because I told you the terrorists and Al-Qaeda is moving towards Africa. I watched CNN. They just hired a new leader who is an African in some country. I don't know, it's Nigeria, whatever. Nobody believed me. It's happening. I told you guys, watch out for North Korea. And people go, oh, Brian. Oh, stop it. They always threaten us. Nope. Watch out for North Korea, and you listen to the news, a threat can only go so far before you back it up. Because if you threat a lot and you don't back it up, people look at you as a fool. And this guy does not want to be looked at as a fool. Trust me, watch North Korea, because this shit is going to get serious. Then there's another thing I said. Watch out for the Republicans. Oh, Brian, they don't have a leader. They don't have this. They're in disarray. And McCain already fired the warning shots, and the movement has begun. They have this thing called work amnesty, where the Latinos are saying, you know, let's take another look at this. Their mission is to get the Latino vote. Some Republicans are talking gay. Can you believe this? Remember the Republicans back in the day? Used to be family values, too much government, this way, that way. Very conservative. Now you got senators coming out of the woodwork supporting gay marriage and equality. I told you guys, watch out for the Republicans. These are not the old Republicans. This is not the McCain Party anymore. This is not the Romney Party anymore. This is not those people anymore. These are the new improved liberal Republicans. Even the conservatives, they had a lady on TV on the CNN, and she was from the Tea Party. And they were talking about the issue of gay rights. Even she, from the Tea Party, said, you know, I read the Constitution or whatever, nobody has a right to say a person cannot get married, blah, blah. Even she said that. She said there are certain people in our party that will absolutely not budge on this issue, but there's other people in the party that says they understand that marriage should be for everyone. The Tea Party is saying this. You guys are not taking these Republicans seriously, because these Republicans are not going to take shit no more. They're not. They're new. They are improved. They are here, and they accept queers. Okay. Just checking if Diane was still there. They are mean, they are lean, and they are going to be a polling machine. Obama.
That sounds awful.
Do I have to remind you I just talked to the good father, Kerry?
That's what reminded me of it.
God. Polling machine.
Oh, as in not
poll.
Yet.
As in sliding, not sliding down one. Taking a
As
poll.
In voting.
Voting.
Oh.
Yeah. If it was a poll and there was a key, then and a key couldn't open the poll, then it would be a poll lock.
Ah, that's good.
Letters.
See, we may open up a new market. Keep going.
Yeah, there goes 10 more of our sponsors, Ryan. Thanks a freaking lot. Now I'm going to get a lot of Polish people calling me. That's not freaking funny, Brian. We're Polish people. And if I had your number, I would call you. You're already on the air. Oh, that was just a little Polish joke.
God.
Woo.
Okay, we don't leave anybody out.
We do not.
We add everybody into all of our talks. We're not
we sure
prejudiced one way or the other.
And we will call Rabbi. We will call Rabbi Robinson tomorrow.
Rabbi Robinson, is that a real person?
No.
Oh.
It's tying into the new movie, Jackie Robinson, which is coming out soon.
If it's Rabbi Robinson. That be your Ray Ray down the street?
That's right. That's Ray Ray. Hey, don't knock Ray Ray. Anything you need, Ray Ray has it in the trunk. He's at the corner at 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. until the popo comes and moves him away and he runs away.
Until the who comes?
The popo.
Oh.
That's police.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, in your case, we round up the varmints.
Hey, sheriff's in town.
Oh, yeah. Sheriff
Joe. Yeah, you know who one of my friends is? Wyatt Earp.
you do have a friend called Wyatt Earp, right?
Yes, I do.
His name is Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp. He's the great-grandson of Wyatt Earp.
Oh, my God. And, of course, he's in Arizona, right?
Yes, he is. In Tombstone, actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, I like that place. That place is kind of cool.
Jesus Christ. That's
I
right.
I forgot about Wyatt when we were talking about that yesterday.
Wyatt Earp. Sheriff Joe.
Well, that's like my son. I almost named him Marshall Matt Dillon.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God, I loved Matt Dillon.
Yep, and you know, they all have something in common. They come into town. Here they come. Wyatt Earp. Marshall Matt Dillon. Woo!
He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way.
Wow. They don't even have sirens. They just have whips riding on a horse, and they're whipping the wind. You know when they're coming. There's a sheriff coming. There's a sheriff coming.
The sheriff is a...
I knew it. I knew, bro. The sheriff is a Nick. Oh, man. Year 2013, and we got a Sheriff Joe and his posse.
Yes. Yes, we do. And they do good things, actually.
Exactly. Hey, you know, I never talk about my agent.
About who?
My agent.
Oh, didn't know you had one.
Yeah. You never met my agent?
Uh-oh.
Oh, here's him doing business. I'm telling you something. If you ever want to hire Brian Hammer Jackson to do any personal appearances, this is one of my agents, and listen to him and how he does.
Oh, it's one of your agents?
That's my main agent. My first name. If we can talk to him.
This is Les Grossman with us.
Stay Hello?
On this phone and don't hang up for me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there.
First, I'll give you the number of a good plumber because you just flushed your fucking career down the toilet.
Hello?
I spent more than $5 million on you. I will never forgive you for what you've done to me.
This is your fault. You limey fuck.
What? You're a pain in my ass.
Take a big step back and literally fuck your own face.
You have no fucking soul. How about that?
Okay, I guess he's busy on another call.
Hey, you know, I just thought of something funny. Can I tell you something funny?
Sure.
Remember my friend Ed Faulkner that I was talking about from the weekend?
Mr. Faulkner?
Faulkner. He was worked a lot with John Wayne.
What's his real name? Mr. Faulkner?
Ed Faulkner, that's his name.
Can you say Ed Faulkner three times real fast?
Probably not, without...
Let me hear you say it. Go ahead. Ed Faulkner.
Ed Faulkner, Ed Faulkner, Ed Faulkner.
Diane? Diane?
Yes?
Can you say Ed Faulkner three times real fast?
Ed Faulkner, Ed Faulkner.
Thank you, Diane.
Yep.
Yes,
anyway,
continue with Ed Faulkner.
It's really funny. You'll like this.
Uh-huh.
The friend of ours went to Ed's house, visited, you know, and none of the awards or plaques or, you know, any of that stuff that he ever won was anywhere. And they asked why, and his wife said, well, you know, have you visited the bathroom lately? So they sent him to the bathroom, and there all covered on the wall was all of Ed's, you know, trophies and awards that he had won and accolades and movie posters and everything. And they came out and said, why is it in there? And Ed says, that's my wife's way of telling me my career is in the toilet.
I love it. I love it. And you're talking to him, too. So.
Yeah, he was telling me that this weekend.
And there was a guest that you were going to have on a show. Remember the guest we were talking about off the air? This was a gentleman. Was he on ABC News? And he was doing a report on the marriage.
Oh, you're talking about Mike Watkiss.
Yes. And
yes.
He just came off the report on, what was it, the Mormon and the marriage. It wasn't the Mormon. It wasn't Mormon, everybody. It was a sect.
It was Warren Sepp. And LDS.
Yes. Yes.
But
can you give us a brief description of that and the gentleman who was reporting that story, please?
Well, the FLDS is the Mormon church that Warren Jeffs, or sect of the Mormon church, whatever, that Warren Jeffs was, he's actually in prison serving life sentence for underage sex with kids and stuff.
Yes, yes, I remember
the polygamy
story.
Polygamy and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, polygamy, yeah.
And my friend, I forgot his name, Mike.
Mike, uh-huh.
Was going to come on and talk to us about it, but he's in trial every day with Jody Arias.
Yeah, he's covering her trial, Arias or Arias, yeah. And Jody was the person who cut her boyfriend's throat, I think, 39 times and put a bullet in his head and claimed it was vicious.
She killed him like 9 times, all in the same day.
And doesn't remember a thing about the killing, but remembers everything else about what happened that night.
Right, enough to say that she can't remember what happened. Anyway, they've had her doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever you call him, on the stand for the past 8 days, and he's trying to explain why he thinks she's a battered wife, I think, except that she wasn't married, so I don't know how you can be a battered wife and not be married, but okay.
You know, that defense has been come up so often. When you hear somebody, and defense will use this all the time, it's almost like the LAPD says, I shot an innocent person, but in the nighttime he reached for his waistband. If you ever look at these kids wearing these clothes, these kids are wearing their clothes, they have no belt, they're wearing their clothes below their asses, the size is too big, they're running, pulling up their pants.
Right.
And so that's what they're pulling up. They're pulling up their pants so they can get away from you. And the cops will say, well, we had to kill him. I can't find a gun. Why did you kill him? Because he reached for his waistband. Well, that's how you pull up your pants. So when I hear the same thing about, you know, somebody does this horrendous crime, and they go back to, well, you know, they were abused when they were kids. So what? So I would have to believe, you know, and I'm going to ask you, Carrie, because you are a mother. I'm going to ask you, Diane, and Jeff, you too, because you're a man and you're a father and things. I'm going to ask you this. The way society thinks now, and the year, let's say from the year maybe 1999 on up to this day, about hitting your child, how to discipline your child. All of a sudden we coin words like mental abuse. It's abusive if you yell at your child. It's very abusive. God help you if you spank your child. That is abusive. Blah, blah, blah. The way society, social society, what is abuse in your family and how you raise your children and how it was back in the day when we used to get spanked in school, for Christ's sake. I remember when I used to go to school, and it happened all the time. The principal used to get mad at me because he says, Brian, I can't even eat my lunch because every day I have to give you SWATs. We call them SWATs. And SWATs is where we had to bend down, touch our toes, and the principal would get this board. It was a board. It's like a paddle board, and you're using cricket. And he would hit you in your buttocks.
I got shot in the butt,
tough.
Would you like some ice cream, Lieutenant Dan?
That's true. Jesus. And you guys are mocking my abuse. But I will go to you, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, did you go to school at those times that even the principal, I'm talking not when you're in high school or junior high school, that this is, well, no, this is grade school, where the principal, if you get in there, he had the right to spank you.
They have it in grade school and in junior high. By the time you got to high school, they kind of nixed that. But I remember very vividly Mr. Michael Berger with this fucking boat oar that had holes drilled in it so he could get more speed.
Whoa. Get more speed. You must have been a hell of a bad kid. All right, let's bring in the big guns, the big paddle.
Bring in goddamn Mr. Bertrand again, son.
Ass meet board. Board meet ass. Exactly. And I would grow up is that you do not talk to your parents. I could not swear till I was 24. And to this day, it has, the only time I use the F word is when I have a lot of liquor and she's hot. And sometimes I don't even say it. I allow her to say it. It makes it even better.
No, I can't swear in front of my mother.
To this day, you can't, can you?
No, and when she does, I get smacked.
Now, that's power.
No, I mean, one day I was sitting there playing cards because her and her girlfriends get together once a month and they play poker. And I was, you know, I got a crappy hand. I'm all, fuck this. And ooh, the look I got. It's going to belt me.
And that's a preview of Diane playing Oh Shit. You will hear a lot of swearing. Diane starts off. Hi, how you doing? Nice to be here. Okay, good. Let's go. Let's play. By the middle of the game, fuck that. I know that fucking I'm fucking that.
No, but I remember as a kid, my mom, my dad used to hate her for this. She would leave my dad a note saying, Diane did this morning, Mike did this, or Jim did that. Take care of it when you get home. Beat their ass.
Yeah.
So we knew when we came home from school, we saw the note, we knew we were in trouble, so we had to sit there and fidget. And then as soon as Dad walked in the door, I have never seen a man pull his belt off so fast.
Oh, yeah, the move.
He got the belt. You know, you hear the belt buckle, and he just goes rip, and it just comes right off, and oh, shit.
Oh, you never forget that sound.
No, I mean, but if you got my dad laughing, your punishment ended, because at my mom and dad's house, you have a step-down living room, and there's like a wrought iron fencing around the thing. So I would get in on one side of the fence thing, and my dad would be in the other side, and I'd keep running in circles.
Oh, geez.
As I could run around in circles, and then I'd slide out the front door.
No, and remember when they used to whip off their belt and then
crack it too.
Just to frickin' torment you, they'd snap it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so you can hear the sound.
Click, click, click.
Oh, yeah. So you
hey,
guys were lucky.
My dad was a cop. He used his police belt.
Oh, did he? Oh, that must have been worse. Did you get the belt too, Carrie?
Oh, hell yes.
Wow. Wow. See, you guys are lucky. My dad was kind of a fat guy, so it took him a while to get the belt off, so it delayed more. I just wanted to say, here, get it off. But, yeah.
It's like, here, let me help you and get it over with.
Exactly. I even started spanking myself so to get it over with to start it off.
Yeah, you're taking too long. Come on.
You're taking too long. Let me do it myself. There we go.
Let me tell you a funny one about my mom. She used to get so mad at us, and I mean, we never really knew why, because actually, we were pretty good kids, but one time she got mad and one of my brothers took off running, and she took off her shoe and threw it at him and missed and went right through the front window.
Oh, shit.
And, oh, my God, we got in so much trouble. And it's like, why are we in trouble? You threw the shoe through the front window. Yeah, but you made me.
Oh, yeah. You got the shoe thrown at you. I did that. I got it thrown at me twice. And it pissed her off. She used to take the... And black parrot... Okay, here we go, letters. Oh, jeez. I can't even talk. But, and if I have to do this, if I was a comedian, I could probably get away with it, but this is true. White parents, I observe, because I go to the store and I observe, and I see white parents trying to reason with a kid who is really talking, really just crying. They do two things. They'll reason with them, or they'll completely ignore them and just pretend going shopping that they don't hear them. That's what I observe. Black kids, I hear threats. You better stop that noise. And the louder and louder it gets, and it's getting, the threats get more. And pretty soon, you got to run for your life, because I have seen a woman, I'm not kidding, I can tell you the market. It was Boys Market. I was in Boys Market in Compton. If you're ever in Los Angeles, you know what I'm talking about. I was in Boys Market, and this woman got so fed up with her kid, and the kid was like 9. I guess he wanted some cereal. And she said, you better stop. You better stop. It's like we weren't there. And the kid stopped for a little bit, and she turned away, and piercing thing. And her mother, she actually said this, you better run.
Oh,
the
my
boy,
God.
This was in the store. The boy took off on aisle 7. She grabbed her shoe, whoa, and she hit the boy, perfect target. The arm was great. The Dodgers should have signed her. She hit the guy on top of the head.
In the store?
In the store, aisle 7. I'll never forget it. The guy almost made it to the meat section. And she hit him, and then she had the nerve to go, you better bring Mama's shoe back. I put some shit back so I could get in the express lane. I'm getting the hell out of here. Before she get mad at me. I seen that. And nowadays, if that happened, what do you think will happen?
Oh, she'd be arrested.
She would be arrested. The kid would be in a foster home. And there'd be witnesses. And so many kids are being taken away from good homes because of somebody who saw something that did not understand something that goes on to that family. And so many, you wonder how many kids have been taken away from their families because of somebody interpreted something that was not really something. I should do a story on that because I like to know how many kids are in foster's home right now, have been taken away from parents because maybe she came home one day. Let's go with the times. A lot of these single mothers are 16, 17, 18 years old. I know they have a TV show on MTV and they brag on how great they are, 16 and unmarried and whatever.
Yeah, but really
I remember as a kid, if we acted up in a store or a restaurant, we had to go sit in the car. We were told to leave and go get in the car and wait for us.
My father threatened me in church one time. Boy, if you act up one more time, I'll take you out and the good Lord will take you right here.
I'll take your ass out right here.
The good Lord will be on my side. I'll take you out right here. But nowadays, you parents, can you do that? I mean, Carrie, I'm going to ask you now. Your kids are like 22, 23. Did you ever hit your children? Did you ever hit your children?
You know, my kids are not like any normal kids. And so I can honestly say, I can count on one hand the time they actually got spanked. Because after you spank a child a couple of times, it becomes it doesn't mean the same thing.
I disagree.
My kids didn't need to be spanked because if I told them something, that was just the way it was, you know. Like, if you don't behave, we aren't going somewhere. Oh, yeah, right, you know. Well, then we didn't go. Oh, Mom, how come we didn't go? Because I told you. If you can't do what needs to be done and, be good, we're not going. So we didn't go. So then they learned. We went to a restaurant. I never once ever had a problem with either one of my kids, even my goddaughter, in a restaurant. I never had trouble making them go to bed. I never had trouble getting them up. They just knew.
And if you
I
did,
didn't have to spank.
Okay, I understand. And if you did, with the psychological profile, what does it do when the kids are going, I get in trouble, but the kids don't understand the psychological happening in the parent's head. If you did have to spank your kid, would you feel justified or would you feel a lot of guilt for using, I'm not going to say martial punishment, but using physical punishment on your child? How would you feel?
I didn't feel guilty because they got enough of a warning that they knew it was coming, and I had to follow through even though I didn't want to, because that's how they learned. And my kids are not any of them psychologically damaged whatsoever. In fact, one is an RN now. And she's absolutely loved by everybody at the hospital because of the kind of person she is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, she always says, Mom, she says, this is what she says to me. Mom, I can tell who had parents that really cared about them and who didn't. Because if they cared about them, they were nice and you could talk to them. And if they didn't care or pay attention to them, they're the ones that always get in trouble and cause scenes.
Because
they're looking for attention.
Exactly. I was born in Philadelphia, and South Side of Philadelphia. And this is when the neighbors knew each other and things. I had two parents. They were working. And they couldn't always be there, but we had what we call step parents, and these step parents are your neighbors. And I told this story before. And one day, little Brian, minding his own business, got a stick. I got a stick, and I was bored, so I was walking home, and what I did was I picked up the stick, and I was scraping each car as I was going by with the stick. That's what I did. And I had, I figured I had enough time to stop because I was two blocks from my house. I go, okay, stop, hide the weapon away, blah, blah, blah. And I just, each car. And then the neighbor, you would hear, remember the neighbor, Mabel. Mabel was like the typical lady that you would hear in a church, in the southern church. She's the first one that's the high roller. She's yelling and she's screaming, Miss Mabel. And I hear a scream, Brian! And that scream. And she goes, you come here, baby. And they say nicely. I go, what? Come here, baby. She grabbed me by my upper collar, threw me in the house, and she said, you sit right here. You are Satan's child. And she called my mom, and she explained everything what our hero, Innocent Brian, was doing. And she got off the phone and says, okay, yes, okay. So I do have your permission? Okay, thank you, baby. I'll see you at church Sunday. And that woman turned to me and she goes, you are evil. Why would you do that to these cars? I'm saying, Miss Mabel, I got to go home. You ain't going nowhere. Why? I just talked to your mama. And she gave me permission to beat your ass. She beat me to you would not. I go, Miss Mabel. She pulled out the wooden spoon and she gave it to me. And she gave it to me good. It was like it's for every man who did not screw her, I got. Every man who did not look at her, she took it out of my ass. Even as a kid, I'm thinking, please, somebody, please lay this woman. She was hitting.
I don't even know what that means, but please do it.
I didn't know what it means, but the good Lord say, wow, I don't know about it, if I should even intervene. Because I prayed to him, and that spoon broke, and she goes, now you get out of here. And I swear, this is what she says, so I'm leaving. And she goes, now, I'll see you tomorrow, right, young Brian? I go, yes, ma'am. And I'm walking down the street. I didn't know that she called three other people. I got four houses from there, and I remember Shirley. She goes, Brian, come in for a minute. I got some cookies. I go, oh, okay. She beat me. I heard what Miss Mabel said, and you were doing with those cars. I go, yeah, but she just whack, 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 whack. By the time I got home, I had 3 beatings before I even got home.
You gotta
it was like the neighborhood watch. Let me get at him.
You gotta love that back in the day, because your friend's parents could whoop your ass.
They were, and my friends were laughing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Are you gonna, Mama? It go, Mama. Brian did something better. Are you gonna hit him again? I go, shut up. And they whipped the devil out of you because they figured the devil was in you. It goes, and it's like, can't you just call an exorcist? That, no, we're gonna kick the devil out of your ass. I guess that's where the devil hid, in my ass. Get out of my ass, devil! Get out of there, Satan.
And do you remember that every time you sit down?
I remember that. These were a bunch of ladies whose husbands left them, and they were pissed at the world. And they needed... So you can't do that anymore.
Well,
that's
overboard.
You can't do that anymore. If somebody hit your child, Diane, if somebody punished your child, what would you do?
Knock them out.
Exactly.
That's my job.
Can't do it anymore. You can't even... Diane, when was the last time you... gave your sons, and I talked to your sons, they're great kids, but when was the last time you spanked them or you really punished them? Have you ever spanked your kids?
When they were little, I spanked them.
It
you know,
to
they
got to
be taught right from wrong.
But was it good? Was it victory?
Well, I mean, I learned the hard way one time. I think it was Richie. He was getting out of the bath, and he was just, you know, just being a little jerk. So I learned real quick you cannot spank a wet bottom. Because it left a handprint and a half, and then I cried.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You know, but I did try to smack Rich. I think he was maybe 18. I didn't like his lip service, so I tried to smack him upside his shoulder. And he grabbed my hand so fast, I said, I guess that's the last time.
I know. Oh, I guess you're too big. Have you ever slapped your kid across the face?
No, never.
How would you
when
feel
they were
it?
Little, I would tap their lips. Mm-hmm. You know, if they said bad words or something, I'd say, you know, just smack them on the lips a little bit just to say, you know, don't say that word. But I never, ever.
And look at them now.
Never smacked across the face.
And Jeff said the same thing to me the other day. You know, Diane sometimes will say things and I like to just smack her lips. Speaking of that, let's welcome Vinny. We got a celebrity. Vinny Diaz and De Niro Vingo. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Brian, let me interject something with these kids.
You got it.
If the kid don't know that he'll get a backhand, I mean, you don't have to do it. But you don't, if they forget that you're capable of kicking the shit out of them, that's when you lose all respect from the kids. If they know they're going to get their ass whipped, I mean, my father, forget about it. He'd give me a backhand. I'd look like, what's your name, in the Olympics, doing triple flips and all of that shit. And, you know, when you tell a kid, oh, son, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you, man, that's bullshit. When you look at that kid and bite your fingers, you know, the fist that you're making and you bite it, they know, oh, shit, I'm running.
Yeah, yeah. You remember those days, huh, Vinny? It's like we knew how far we can push them or what we can get away with, and that kept us, a lot of us, from getting into a lot of trouble.
Sure. I mean, now the kids, they started with that timeout shit, I knew we were in trouble. Oh,
yeah.
Son, you got timeout. You're going in the room with no computer, but you could watch the 60-inch screen. It's crazy. It's nuts. I don't know, Brian. I'm always complaining, talking about how it should be, how it was, how it shouldn't be. But you know what? We know what to do. We know how to raise kids. We know what a perfect world is like. And we try to share it with people. We try to give them advice, but they're going to do what they want.
That is true. I want to ask you a question, Vinny. Do you think when we took that away, the fear of your parent that you can get in trouble, that we also lose, parents today lose respect. The children do not have respect for their parents or anybody else around them since they're not afraid of anything?
Well, because there's, yeah, definitely. When we stopped the authority, you know, because everybody was getting lost with that. Oh, well, I'm not my son's father. I'm his best friend. Get the fuck out of here, best friend. I'll smack the shit out of him. That best friend thing, that's where we lost control. Oh, he's my best friend. He ain't your best friend. He's your son, and you got to teach him. Because I was told a lot of times when I was a kid growing up and disciplined in school from the priests, from the nuns, from my father, mother, they always said to me, hey, look, you may get a smack in the back of the head now, but when you're 18, they ain't going to smack you in the back of the head. Fucking Omar's going to smack you in the back of the head when he's your cellmate. So wise up now and put... I don't know why they just don't tell the kids that. Hey, you know what? You're going to go to big boys court, and your ass is going to be in trouble. You're not going to be able to get a job. It's going to be on your police record. And, I don't know. People just don't. I don't know if they're aware of it, but they don't like to even say it.
I agree with you. Vinny, there was a story. I don't know if you heard it or not. It's when I don't know if you were brought up that way, too, because I know the Italian families are pretty close to that with discipline with their children, and I know the Jewish families are disciplined. And I can go on everybody's discipline. I'm not going to put it, but I'm talking Italian because Vinny's Italian in New Jersey. When I was a kid and I did something wrong, the block knew about it, and they disciplined me before I even got home. Did you ever have that experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my aunt, man, and I'm telling you, this had to happen 50 years ago, smacked me in the face once. I mean, sure enough, smacked me. And you know what? It hurt like hell. I didn't cry. When I was a little kid. We were small. She smacked me dead in the face. And I didn't tell my mother. And I was afraid to tell my mother or father because they would have kicked me in the ass. And then ask what happened. Matter of fact, they would have said, and why did she smack you? I know she didn't smack you for nothing. She just didn't say, hi, Vinny, smack. You know, I did some.
Yeah, that's true. And then when you hear about these stories about these guys getting drunk, they're 16 years old, and a drunken 16-year-old girl, and these guys are going to prison and they're going to lose their life. And I started saying, where in the hell are the parents? You think now we're at an age where parents are saying, like Vinny said, time out. All right, I'm going to take your smartphone for about a week because I can't hit you. There's been cases, and I wish I would have brought it up today, there's been cases where kids actually call the cops on their parents and try to get their parents arrested for disciplining them.
Well, you know,
I know it's sad, isn't it?
I don't know, Brian. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. My son's like 20 years old, 20-some years old. He's on his own. He's doing what he's got to do. Smart kid, good-looking kid, athletic kid. And all we could do is wish for the best. That's all it boils down to. We could teach him. We could teach him all the old ways, all the valuable lessons that we learned in life. But it all boils down to the individual kid and luck. I mean, luck, that's what it's about. It's about luck. I've seen so many kids grow up on the straight and narrow, and then at 30 years old, go bananas, go zonkers. If I had the answer and I was able to put it in a book or go out and give a lecture, I'd be a millionaire. But we don't have the answer.
That's true. And before I let you go, I know Vinny came on, too, to let us know that his show starts at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I have a good surprise for Vinny. I kind of let it out of the bag, but I'll say it here on the air. And Kelly just informed me right now. Please announce that Vinny has a new fan page that just went up. And Kelly worked very hard on it.
Oh, my God, like a fan page, not like
it's a huge fan page. She just put it up. She works. She says, you can now announce Vinny's fan page, and here's the link to it. Send people there. I already invited a lot of people. His fans are growing now. She just put that up 10 minutes ago. His fans are there now. She just put up the page. She's letting everybody know about your fan page.
Well, you know, that's nice, man. I wished a lot of people that are no longer with us could see that I have a fan page. But the one person I like because he got me out of so many jams, and I got to let him know I got a fan page, is Superior Court Jimmy Triano, James Triano. I can't call him Jimmy anymore. And he's a Superior Court in the state of New Jersey, and he would be... I noticed he would bring tears to his eyes because when he got his judgeship and was appointed by the governor, he called me up one day. He said, you know, this is great. This is like hitting a lottery, being a Superior Court judge. He said, but you know one thing? I regret my mother and like your father and all the old-timers seeing this. So this is like the same thing. I'm not going to get a judgeship anytime soon, but I got a fan page.
You damn well. You should. It's way. You should have had a fan page long ago. And I'm sorry, Vinny. And you've got one now. But here it says Vinny DeVingo. Oh, she put entertainer. Vinny DeVingo entertainer. We'll work on the title if you want to change it, my friend. Your fan page is up. I'm looking at it right now. Wow, it looks too cool. I'm going to send you the link in your inbox so you can promote it, but it looks really cool, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Diane, for making me able to even have fans.
Well, you got your fans. You're just a nice guy, and you're really a nice guy. You did it, Vinny. Your numbers are so high. People love you to death. I am just proud and say you're my friend and let's do it together. And I said, Vinny, you know, you got so many fans. You got so many good people around you. And just to be a part of us together, it's really cool.
I remember when you told me, hey, Vinny, you know, instead of getting a half hour on my show, I'm going to give you your own show. I'll hook you up with that. And I said, my own show? This guy's freaking crazy. And then he said, well, what do you want? You want to be on like a half hour, an hour, or 2 hours? I said, well, are you crazy? Slow down. You know what? I think I'll do it. You said, no, you're going to do an hour. And pretty soon, some days I could do 2 hours, but let's forget I even said that.
I remember the day, too. It's like, and there was a person named Cole. Cole goes, okay, me and Vinny going to do the show. I go, oh, no.
People don't know. People want to succeed. You know, not taking anything from Cole, but I'm sure we weren't a mixed, like it's been proven. You know, it's hard. I'm a hard guy to get along with. I am. You know, I have certain little things, certain little peeves. And, you know, it's like having two football players on the same team in the same backfield. Sometimes you're going to bump into each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, well, you know, you have two different styles. And your style, and I saw nothing against Cole. Cole is an energetic young man. He is a faithful, well, he was. I don't know if he even listens to me anymore. He was a faithful, I hate saying the word fans. He was a faithful friend of Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Sometimes Cole got into the little bubbly, and he will say things to offend a lot of people. And that's just his personality. Sometimes he's funny, sometimes he's not, and he will offend people, and sometimes we took a hit, what Cole will say. And I knew Vinny was just entertaining. He was not there for shock radio. He was not there like, let's see what I can make your head explode. Vinny is an entertainer. The guy is a well-accomplished actor. He can give you names of A-list actors he has worked with. The man was in radio. The man knows entertainment, and that's the difference between somebody doing shock radio and somebody who's an entertainer. And Kelly just gave you the biggest compliment in the world. She just put entertainer. Frankie was an entertainer. Dean Martin was an entertainer. That's the highest compliment you can give. Not just an actor, a model, a producer, an entertainer. And,
well, that's it. That you know, that's why we got to leave it. You know what? Put that on a little piece of paper, put it in a drawer, put it under the lamp. When I die, that's what I want on my gravestone. Entertainer.
You are an entertainer. It's the highest compliment of anything in any business. You make people happy, Vinny. You make them smile. And if you piss them off once in a while, it's still in good fun because you're an entertainer, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you do what you do best. Kelly, I'll talk to you later. Diane, I'll talk to you later. And I'll talk to all you people out there later, too.
And, again, you can catch Vinny at about an hour and a half, 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Vinny, I just put in your inbox on Facebook the link to your new fan page, my friend, and I want to be the first one to say, yay, it's about frickin' time.
Okay.
You like?
Well, thank you, Kelly. Thank you. Thank you, all you people.
That's right there, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Vinny. I'll see you. I never miss your show, so I'm going to see you in an hour and a half, buddy.
All right. I'm going to get in the shower. I'm running out of hot water.
Wait. What's the phone number to your show?
646-716-4343.
That's my cousin, Vinny DeVingo. Vinny, what are you talking about today?
You know, I had to tell you. Matter of fact, I got a letter from the Italian American Foundation. And
really?
Yeah. You know, we're always talking about, you know, just putting in new songs, doing this and doing that, and I forget the most important things. I got a letter from the Italian American Association letter yesterday, and I threw it with the rest of the bills. You know what I mean? And then today I looked at it. I said, holy shit, this is what we did three shows about. Like, I got to see what it is. But I said, you know what? I can't open a freaking thing till we're on the air. So I'll open the thing on the air. Maybe we got a war ahead of us, or maybe they conceded. Who knows?
Wow. We worked so hard on it. I would stay tuned. That's a teaser. I like to hear that letter. All right.
Okay.
We call it Vindicated. Is Vinny about to be vindicated for 10 years, and he's going to open this frickin' letter about all of our hard work. We called him on the air. We talked to him on the air, and this comes down to this letter. And you will hear this letter again at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. This is what it's about. Did we do it? I can't wait. Did you open it up yet? Do you know anything about it?
I didn't open it.
Wow.
I put it in the mayonnaise jar so it don't happen to it. And that's it. I'll open it up later, and we'll see what it is. You know how we do. It is what it is. If it's a problem, we address it. If it isn't, we'll be happy.
All right, my friend. I will see you in an hour and a half. I can't wait to hear that letter.
All right. All right, thank you very much. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, buddy. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's Vinny DeVingo. Check out his show, My Cousin Vinny DeVingo. It's a great show. We have 30 seconds. We're going to go into archives right now. But I do want to mention a couple of things. I said, are the Republicans going off the rocker? We're going to go into archives right now, but I do want to talk a little bit about Michelle Bachmann. And so if you still want to stay with us, you can go on archives. You can hear what I have to say. It's not going to be long. But I think the Republicans, the new Republicans, are ones to watch out for. The Michelle Bachmanns are out, I think. And but let's listen to some things she has to say. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, we're going to be in archives. And hopefully you still stay with us. I want to thank my guests today, Vinny DeVingo, Vinny Esposito, Diane Mears-Dillon, Carrie Brooks, Jeff Bertrand, and all you guys listening to the show. We'll be right back. I'm off the board right now, and this is where I'll ask Diane to take the show until I get back on the board.
You got it, bud.
You got it. Okay. Thank you. We'll be right back, and we'll talk to him about Michelle Bachmann. You guys got to hear this.
Chantilly lace. And the big bopper.
Thank you, my friend.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the big bopper speaking. Oh, you sweet thing. Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby, you know what I like. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down. Wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Make the world go round. Ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny. Make me spend my money. Make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl.
Oh, baby, that's what I like.
What's that, baby? But, oh, honey. Chantilly lace had a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down. A wiggle in a walk and a giggle in a talk. Lord, make the world go round, round, round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl. It make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's the one I like.
What's that, honey?
Pick you up at 8. And don't be late. But baby, I ain't got no money, honey. Oh, all right, honey, you know what I like. Chantilly lace had a pretty face, ponytail hanging down, a wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Low, made the world go round. Nobody in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me feel my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked loser, like a girl.
Oh, baby, that's the one I like.
Thank you, Jeffrey. That's what I like. Okay, guys, we're in archives. People don't know we're in archives, but we are. Diane, Jeff, you're still with me, and thank you so much for the commercial buffer.
No problemo.
We'll
it's
just
my
make this.
Job.
Thank you, Matt. We're going to make this really quick. Here's what's going on. Michelle Bachmann, who is being investigated now. Excuse me. Well, I got to get rid of this cold. I got to get some of those Lenny's vitamins. Who's being investigated now regarding campaign fraud? This is a little bit. If you don't know who Michelle Bachmann is, I don't. She's one of the conservative Republicans who ran in the GOP, as she ran for president. She was in and she was out. Let me just remind you who she is. Here we go. This is a couple of minutes of Michelle Bachmann.
And in Psycho Talk tonight, we already know that House Intelligence Committee member Michelle Bachmann, well, she isn't very good at history or foreign policy. Bachmann said the first shots of the Revolutionary War were fired in New Hampshire. And she said people are worried about the rise of the Soviet Union. But Bachmann doesn't let her ignorance stop her from wild speculation about international affairs. Yesterday, she was fear-mongering about a second Cuban Missile Crisis.
There's reports that have come out that Cuba has been working with another terrorist organization called Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is potentially looking at wanting to be a part of missile sites in Iran. And, of course, when you're 90 miles offshore from Florida, you don't want to entertain the prospect of hosting bases or sites where Hezbollah could have training camps or perhaps have missile sites or weapon sites in Cuba. This would be foolish.
No fear-mongering there. Of course, Bachmann is way off the mark. Oh, no, hold it right there. If this was the case, do you think that President Obama would be mentioning this in the media at all? She was apparently referring to an unsourced report in an Italian newspaper picked up by conservative blogs, but the report didn't mention anything about missiles. That part was a Bachmann special. This tactic is nothing new for the congresswoman from Minnesota. It's just like when she said the HPV vaccine causes mental retardation. She hears something she thinks can be helping her politically, and she just runs with it, whether it's true or not. And in Bachmann's case, it's usually not true. Her fear-mongering about Hezbollah missiles in Cuba is reckless psycho talk. Tonight, Governor Chris Christie said he wants to apply free market reform to education. We'll see what he really means next. Tuna, eggs, Doritos, cheesecake, email, see ya. I'll help translate that and other pearls of wisdom from Texas Governor Rick Perry. We've got the video you won't want to miss.
And that report was from, actually MSNBC, and that was from, I want to make sure I got it, Ed. I think it's Ed's show. It was from the Ed show on MSNBC, and I love Ed. Michelle Bachmann, I think she's a loose cannon. She should be in a mental home. And this is what was wrong with the presidential campaign, the Republican campaign. They let Michelle Bachmann's in. They let the pizza boy in. Okay, if I was white, you could go, oh, that's a racist comment, Brian. The pizza guy in. Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul, he's the only one that made sense in the whole GOP, because we can go on and on and on of the wackos who they thought that should be in the presidential election and when I said elect them. This is the old Republicans. I'm telling you, it's the old Republicans. They're smarter. They're faster. The reason they lost, not this election or the election before, when Obama first running his first term, is because they were not social media savvy. They even claimed, they said, this won't happen again. The second election, they were more media, social media savvy. And they are. They are armed. They are doing fact-checking. They are going through social medias now about gay marriages and immigration. They're loosening up their stronghold on that, and they're understanding 2012, 2013 now. Is this the Republican Party we should be afraid of, or is this the Republican Party that we're going to look behind and say, you know what, they're still the same old guys, the same old crusty guys who are 80 years old leading that party? I don't think so. If you watch CNN, you got congressmen and senators who are coming out for, what do they call it now, equality, marriage. They're not really saying they're for same sex, but they're coming out for equality. This is not the Republicans we know. The Republicans we know were old guys, out of touch, marriage-minded, anti-abortion, anti-women rights, anti-everything for the old guard. Not anymore. They have learned their lessons, because their lesson was Obama. They can't get over Obama. They look at that as Obama is the reason why we are not in touch with the people. And it might be. Even Senator McCain in Arizona saying, no more. I'm leading the charge here. We'll call it workman amnesty. They were against. They were for tightening the borders. They were against. They wanted stronger immigration laws, and we found out that a lot of these Republicans had immigrants who are working for them. They're getting caught. They're getting busted. They're not going to get caught or busted anymore. Should we watch out for them? Is the Michelle Bachmann's gone? Is the Sarah Palin's gone? Sarah Palin, it's a joke. The Republicans are tired of being a joke, and they get mad, and they get pissed off. They get pissed off when somebody brings up Sarah Palin. They are ashamed of Sarah Palin. They are ashamed of Michelle Bachmann's. They are tired of this. You guys are listening to me and saying, oh, Brian, Republicans will always be the problem, the same thing. No, they're getting smarter. They're looking at a first lady who can actually make a difference. It's no more of their first ladies behind their husband. Now they want the first lady in front, a strong woman. They're coming up. And some of the stuff that the Democrats are doing are way too to the left. And they got to wise up. They're kicking back and saying this and that. No. You have no idea what these Republicans are doing. They're good. They're on top of social issues now. I will go to Diane, and I'll ask her. What do you think, Diane?
I think she's a nutcase.
She is. And I think that's the old Republican. But you know what? Not anymore. There's new Republicans coming up. What do you think? Are you a registered Democrat, Diane?
I'm not registered either way.
Uh-huh. And that's the reason. When we did our show, a lot of people said the same thing, and Diane was here. Remember, Diane, when I used to ask, well, did you register a Republican, Democrat, even Kerry? A lot of them said this. I am not rich. I used to be a Democrat. I used to be a Democrat. Now I'm an independent. Independence, there's no such thing as independence anymore. A lot of them just didn't vote. They didn't like the Republicans, and they weren't too happy with the Democrats. You know what they did? They stayed home.
Yeah.
And
I did.
Yeah. And Kerry from Arizona, she some of her views are quick to be, I would call it, liberal conservatism. She's from Arizona. Arizona is a Republican state. She says that she was registered as a Democrat. Now, but if you listen to her views, it sounds more like a Republican to me. And
well,
she's
I remember
when I reached
the age of 18, my parents were Republicans, so I thought that's what I had to be, was a Republican. I didn't really know too much.
Mm-hmm.
As I got older, I did go towards the Democrat side.
Yeah.
And that's, if I went and registered, that's the way I would go now.
Exactly. And Obama did not win by a big landslide. He lost a lot. People would say, well, he won big. He lost big, too. Because of the people that he reached for in the first election did not go for him. They did not go Republican. They just didn't vote.
Right.
And, you know, people just say, Brian, no. I'm just trying to tell you, when you see a Republican on CNN and says, my son is gay and now I'm going gay here, and I think, and they're championing equal marriage, and the Democrats are, and Obama came out and said that too. He came out and said that he's for gay marriage. Clinton even came out and said, you know what, I wrote the bill, or I did the legislation regarding marriage is only between a man and a woman. Now he's champion saying that bill was wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I want you to hear a little bit, and then we're going to leave. It's very important about, this was done a year ago. I'm looking right now because I really wanted to hear that Republican talk whose son was just gay. And, well, let's listen to American Dad. It's one of my favorite cartoons. American Dad is the only, that and, my bro, what was it? South Park. But American Dad is my favorite cartoon. This is them talking about the American Dad regarding the Republican gay. This is their view. And tell me, is that view gone? Here's a little satire. I hope I got it right. Oh, great. It would be in another language. Great. This is why. You know, but anyway.
Who's that again?
Huh? Oh, American Dad?
Sound like American Dad to me.
I love, yeah, in Spanish. Let me see, I'm trying to find out. Busted anti-gay Republican comes out of the closet. Michael Carr being a gay Republican. I'm telling you. It's changing. Here we go. Now you know his son. This is a Republican. It's 8 minutes. I'm not going to play the whole thing. This is a Republican for the gay rights. Now he's for the gay rights. Now that he know his son is gay. You've seen it on CNN and everything like this. So let's hear a little bit of it and listen to the new. And this is Rob Portman. This is the new Republican, folks. We're only going to listen to a little bit of it, but it's the new Republican. And this is what the Democrats have to keep an eye on because the world is changing in 2013, and you're here to see it. And it's queuing up right now.
All right, but let's talk about this Portman thing because it is, on one hand, and he's from Cincinnati,
Well, it's buffering, and it says I can skip it in five. Five what? Even going on the Republican website, I'm having a hard time.
Or what does that tell you?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, here we go. Let's try it again.
Right, indeed. And on one hand, it is it's pretty big news insofar as he's the only Republican senator to come out in favor of marriage equality. There was a big show, I think it was about 2 weeks ago now, of big Republican luminaries coming out in support of marriage equality, but they were all
former.
Former
two congressionals.
Two congressional backbenchers in two of the few purple congressional.
Okay, these guys I don't care about. I was basically trying to forward. Everybody has a show. I just want to hear the guy's response. That's all I want to hear. And if I don't get it, then it's not worth it. Who cares about these two guys babbling on it?
They could learn two things from having a son come out to him. One is he could learn, I need to see this particular issue.
Okay. Well, anyway, Mr. Portland, what was it, Rob Portman. Here are some of the comments. Here are some of the comments from that video. This is regarding Portman coming out of being gay. This lady, her name is Minnie TV Goo. She says Portman has known his son was gay for more than 2 years. So why didn't he support marriage equality by stumping for the unelectable Mitt Romney anti-gays campaign in 2012? Typical right-wing hypocrite. Here's a guy named McHale. He says he's given the CPAC crowd something to talk about. They are busy denouncing him. Couple more. Sharper68. And he says, liberal shithole. You literally have zero clue what the fuck you are talking about. Ignorant clowns like you make every white, he spelled it W-I-G-H-T, I think he meant right, but okay, every right winger look like simple-minded trolls. Nice work. Okay, again, we're talking about Portman coming out. Supporting his gay son, and Portman is a congressman. And this guy's not done yet. He says, clowns like the poster has no clue what the word pretentious means. Okay. I would not take it to heart. Okay. And then here's a guy who looks like Jesus. His name is Carly Frost. He's saying, we probably some of the most live and let live people in Alabama. Uh-oh. Do we have Alabama music?
Do we have Alabama music?
Kind of like
Julie Banjo. We're probably some of the most live and let live people in Alabama, and my wife is anything but pretentious. The wrong wingers can only summon hate speech because, like Sylvia said, they are uninvolved. And here's Sharpie again. He just won't shut his mind. Conservatives simply do not believe in science, except for all fundamentalists to push to control everyone lives are right-wing conservatives. It takes pure faith to believe what they do, and it's pretty clear they do not value facts as much as their guts. So, I'm here to tell you that the Republicans are on their way to get the majority vote next time the election holds. What do you think, Mr. Jeffy Bertrand?
Majority votes still doesn't matter. It's all electoral. But,
okay.
To me, it's all just lip service. They're trying to get to the Latinos because the Latinos are frickin' huge. They want the gays because the gays are frickin' huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're reaching after everybody they can.
They sure are. And you know what? I think they're succeeding. Here's the thing on the Politics Beast. You can go to the Daily Beast. This is an exclusive congressional ethics probe adds to Michelle Bachmann's political woes. at the Office of Congress Ethics to a long list of probes and lawsuits that may be the only enduring legacy of Bachman's presidential faceplant. And John Avalon reports on it. And basically he says this, 18 months ago, the Minnesota House member was considered an unlikely but undeemable Republican rising star, winning the Iowa straw poll that unofficially begins the primary season. Today, she is embroiled in a legal proceedings related to her rolling disaster of a presidential campaign, including an Office of Congressional Ethics investigation into campaigning and properties that has not previously been reported. In plain English, she's under investigation of campaign fraud, misusing her campaign funds. So that's what they're doing here. And people behind her and her camp are abandoning her, doing a tell-all book that she's a bitch, she's out of touch, she's a moron, and this is all you Republicans have to offer? Come on. But these days are gone. Michelle Bachman has a husband that everybody knows is gay. Gay, he's gayer than anything in the world. Yes, Michelle Bachman, everybody in the world knows he's gay, but you. He's so gay. You know what her husband does? Anybody? Can you guess what her husband does?
Bakes cookies.
That's pretty close. Even a Keebler elf fired his ass. But what he does is that he counsels gay people, and he makes them straight. His job is to get you gay, but by the time you get out, you'll be straight. He counsels you how not to be gay.
That doesn't work.
Well, and you should hear this guy talk. This guy talks like Liza Minnelli's fanatic fan. Everybody knows he's gay. Who are you fooling? Everybody. They will make jokes about her. She's an idiot. But is this the old Republican? Have we lost the Michelle Bachmans, the Sarah Palins? God, I hope not. We need them. We need them to make us look good. Here's what she says. I have been interviewed by investigators, says Peter Walden, a former Bachman staffer who embroiled in his own fight with his former boss involving his allegations of pay-to-play politics and improper payment by the campaign, making him one of several members of Bachman's inner circle who has fallen out with the woman they once hoped would become commander-in-chief. While he was careful to avoid specifics in regard to the investigating body, Warden said that investigators came and interviewed me and interviewed other staff members across the country. Two other former staffers confirmed the existence of the investigators this weekend. On Monday, Bachman's campaign counsel, William McGinley, of the high-powered firm Patton Boggs, confirmed that the Office of the Congressional Ethics, OCE, was looking into the Congresswoman's presidential campaign last year. And they said there is no allegations that the Congresswoman engaged in any wrongdoing, McKinley said. We are constructively engaged with the OCE and are confident that at the end of the review of the OCE board conclude that Congressman Bachman did not do anything inappropriate. Former staff tell the Daily Beast that investigators have allegedly asked about allegations of improper transfer of funds and under the table payment actions by Bachman presidential campaign, specifically in relations to the campaign national political director, Guy Short. There was a guy who worked for her campaign. He said he was broke, but all of a sudden $20,000 was transferred into his account. They're looking at that. Questions directly about Bachman, they said, have been primarily focused on what she knew about those men's actions and when she knew it. There's a thing that says, politics is like jumping off a diving board. She belly flopped. So they're going after her, and there's no big deal. I don't know. Here's something about Michelle Bachman, and then we'll go out. Then we'll leave it with that. But the whole thing about this is, I miss Bush. I've been talking too long. I miss Bush. I miss Sarah Palin. I miss Michelle Bachman because these are the people that remind us why we needed a change. And they get rid of these guys, just like what we did with the Cold War with the Russians, it's only us. And when it's only us standing on top of everybody, It's time for them to take pot shots at us and they look for change, and these guys haven't gone anywhere. They just laid low, and that's what happened. Watch these Republicans. They're stronger, smarter, social media savvy, and they're looking for the gays and they're looking for the Mexicans to save them.
Yep.
And now, and they will, because people are basically want to believe in something so badly, something that something's not happening the way, something's not going the way they want, so change must be good because what we have now is pretty bad. And that's how people tend to vote. Am I wrong here?
No, not at all.
And so we'll have one little sound bite, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Let's see, where are you at, Michelle? Don't come. Here you go, Michelle. Let's see what she has to say. This is some of Michelle Bachmann's most outrageous moments, similar like the football follies. I just want to remember her the way she was, and I want to remember the Republican Party the way they were. So it's a sentimental kind of thing. And let's listen to Michelle Bachmann and some of her best moments. It is buffering right now. Why is buffering? I still want to say thank you for our new sponsor, Mr. Max Ivy. And Diane, his website is? Marketplace.
It's I can't think of it right now.
Marketplace?
Marketplace. Oh, MidwayMarketplace.com.
There you go. I want to thank you, Max, MidwayMarketplace.com. Please go there, visit our sponsor, Max, and also our other sponsor, Lonnie Taylor, and her website is?
LonnieTaylor.com. It's L-O-N-E-E, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R.
And Lonnie has a great book. It's called?
It's called The Best That Can Happen.
What is the best thing that can happen? Oops, I put my thing in her again.
What's the best that can happen?
Don't put your thing in Lonnie.
No.
It's what's the best that can happen.
Right.
And it's a great book and a spiritual book and a positive book that will help you in your life. I can't get the Michelle Bachmann thing on here. But I want to just say thank you for listening to the Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. And we'll be on tomorrow with special guests. And don't forget to support Vinny, D. Vingo's new fan page. I see him on there right now. He's very proud of it, and people are going to him. He gets some information regarding him. And Diane was on the air, so she didn't get the chance to see the fan page, but she will because I will put it into her private message. So she get an idea, see what it looks like, because she's a big part of that. Trust me, Diane is his producer of the show. And Diane and Jeffrey Bertrand, and they are two damn, you couldn't ask for any better ones.
And make sure you guys listen to the show today, because it's going to be exciting when he opens that letter live.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited to hear that. After all of our hard work, did we do it?
It paid off. What you do for people pays off.
Well, so far we're 3 for 3, and being an advocate, we're 2 for 2, and we even got to talk to Father today.
Oh God,
you're still upset. You are surprised that we got to talk to the Father.
I totally forgot about that. I was trying to move that to the back side of the brain.
I knew when he picked up the phone, you cringe. You go, oh, God.
Kind of left the room.
Did you really? You didn't even want to be near the conversation at all.
I did.
Oh, man. I had to just leave the room.
I love you, but...
I didn't want you to talk to the Father.
I was getting play-by-plays, though.
Thank you, Mr. Jeffrey Bertrand, for staying with me when we talked to the Father, even though you were an altered boy.
And it was the church he got altered at.
Oh, was it? I wish I would have known that, because I would have got justice for Jeffrey.
Yeah, there you go.
We will call the synagogue tomorrow and talk to the rabbi.
Okay.
Oy vey.
Well, I don't, are they allowed to talk? I mean, their Passover started yesterday. Are they, like, on timeout during that? I don't know.
Is the rabbi on timeout?
Well, no, but I'm just saying Passover yesterday.
And she is Jewish, folks.
Yeah, right.
Are they on timeout? It's Passover. Send in the matzah. Bring in the kosher eggs. And now, we're going to get one last taste of Bill O'Reilly talking about Michelle Bachmann. Here she goes.
Bachmann causing big controversy, charging President Obama's living it up in the White House at taxpayer expense.
A new book is out talking about the perks and excess of the $1.4 billion a year presidency that we're paying for. And this is a lifestyle that is one of excess. Now we find out that there are five chefs on Air Force One. There are two projectionists who operate the White House movie theater. They regularly sleep at the White House in order to be readily available in case the first family wants a really, really late show. And I don't mean to be petty here, but can't they just push the play button? We are also the ones who are paying for someone to walk the president's dog.
Well, that analysis has angered a lot of folks. Over at CNN, a reporter ambushed Mrs. Bachmann.
I want to ask you about is the fact that you said that he had, you talked about the excesses that he's engaged in, the fact that he has a dog walker, which is not true.
The big point of my speech was about Benghazi. This is an absolute disaster.
But you also made specific accusations about the president spending money that other presidents also made.
The real issue is there are four Americans that are dead. The Secretary of State was not in conversation with the Secretary of Defense or with the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I think that's an important point. I think that's an important point, but this
is
another.
The President of the United States didn't care about those four Americans, and they were killed. That's the point.
And if you've got to focus.
But if you want to focus on that, then what?
That's it. Focus on what it is. Bring up the other thing.
Dog handlers, and there's four Americans killed.
But Congresswoman, you're the one who brought it up.
He's American.
You're the one who brought it up.
Obviously, Michelle Bachmann not wanting to talk about the White House perk thing, and the Benghazi thing was used, and the CNN person wanting. I'm glad I'm not in the middle of that. We wanted to ask Congresswoman Bachmann about the fracas, but she didn't want to talk about it, even though this program has been very fair to her always. So we did ask her spokesman, Dan Cotman, if we could call him about questions, the congressman's analysis, you know, after we checked it out. He said, don't call him, and referred us to a book called Presidential Perks Gone Royal. Apparently, that's a book Mrs. Bachmann used for her information about the president's lifestyle. Now, this would be much ado about nothing if not for the fact that trivial attacks on President Obama are obscuring serious problems in this country. Does the president live well in a White House? Yes, he does. Is there money wasted there? You bet there is. But every other president in history has lived in comfort. And it looks like President Bush the Younger had a bigger White House budget than Barack Obama does. This is a trivial pursuit, and Michelle Bachmann made a mistake pursuing it. With the nation now owing close to $17 trillion, I wish the president were more like Pope Francis, who as a cardinal in Argentina rejected all the lavish perks. But Mr. Obama is entitled to protection, convenience, and comfort as he runs the nation. Congresswoman Bachmann and all opponents of Mr. Obama should zero in on what's really important, the president's failure to deal with out-of-control spending and his core belief that America is not a fair country. That's what's important, not who's walking the presidential dog. By the way, that's the gardener who walks the dog, and he's always walked the dogs. And how many movies the Obamas watched? Jimmy Carter watched 300 movies. Well, I might have been wise. That was so out of control back then. Now, it's long past time for partisans on both the right and the left to cut
And there you go. Don't say we were not fair. That was Bill O'Reilly. Even he agrees that Michelle Bachmann is a nutcase.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. So, like I said, we're going to end this show right now. We have a new thing here. If you want to, if there's a subject that you want us to talk about, or there's a comment about the show that you want to comment about, or something about me.
Or if you want to write a letter.
If you want to, and in fact, I don't know if we have time. We have a letter if you want to hear it, or we can just leave. Whatever you guys, it's you guys, because you guys got another show in about another hour, but we do have a letter.
Is it a long letter?
It's not a long letter, but I have to get there. I have to get there. I have to get to the letter. What I'll do right now is I am getting to the letter, but while I get to the letter, I want you to hear something from somebody who's very important to me, somebody I hold dear, somebody I respect very much. I'm not joking. This is a very serious tender moment that I may have. I want you to hear something from my friend Jeffrey Bertrand. Jeff and Diane is turning 50, 5-0. I think Jeff's birthday is the 21st of April, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Diane's birthday is maybe the 4th. I'm not, they will correct me on this. They have sent an invitation on Facebook to invite people to their party. And at this moment right now, Jeff and Diane, would you please talk to the people who are close to you and tell them about your party and when it is and the invitation, please?
The party is April 6th. It's going to be at my house. We're going to have a DJ and barbecue, and I'm ready.
And it's going to be a great party. And Jeffrey, do you have anything about you reaching 50? How do you feel about that, buddy?
He's not in here right now.
How do you feel about, as a woman, and you are a very pretty woman, let me describe Diane. She has a smile that will make you feel like you just stepped out of Andy and Mayberry. It's so friendly, so pretty, so wholesome. She has a mind that just got off of a sailor's trip overseas.
With emphasis on trip.
On trip. She's funny as anything. She has, and I've been told that she had nice breasts. And Jeff, at this time, would you please elaborate on Diane's breasts?
You stop!
Snakes.
Oh. She is a mother. With two very fine juveniles. You know, I'm going to tell you something off air. I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't going to do it. Diane was nice enough for me to talk to her son. I love her son, Matt. There's Matt and there's Rich. And I got to meet Dave, which is her husband. And so it was off air, we're talking. And I heard this little voice in the background when we were talking. And I said, Diane, who is that? And Diane says, well, that's Sierra. I said, Sierra, that's her son's friend. And I said, oh, can I talk to her, please? Diane, can you describe the look on her face as the little conversation I had with her?
Just in, oh, my God, look.
The horror. Did she actually run out of the room at one time?
Yes, she did.
After she handed us the phone, she
did.
She's out of here.
I think there may have been some one or two inappropriate questions I may have asked her.
I'm sure you did.
Or five or six.
And so I wanted to get to the bottom of it, so her son, Matt, who I like very much, gave me the answer. And I quote, Brian, 36 double D. Nice, blonde, whoa. Thank you, Matt. And he cleared some things up that I was wondering.
She's a very cute girl.
She is very nice. She is very cute. She is very cute. I really. Is Matt there? Is Matt there?
She asked me, is he coming to the party? And I said, yeah. She goes, oh.
Oh, shit.
Well, that's the response I always get. Nothing different. She she was a very nice girl. Sierra, you're very nice, and you had a lot of courage with staying on the phone for me so long. And thank you so much. Matt, you know, it sounds like she's a great friend. And
hey, Brian, when
yeah.
you introduce yourself to Sierra, you got to say your name's Leon.
Say her name is Leon?
Your name is Leon.
Oh, my name is Leon. Oh, okay. I'll Leon those 36 double Ds, buddy. Hey, my name is Leon. Let me just tell you. Yes, I am very inappropriate. What is wrong with Diane and Jeff inviting me to their party?
Cindy will be all over your ass. You better be careful.
That's right. You got a secret weapon. I have to behave. She will not tolerate any tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
So I do have the letter up, and before we leave, should we play the letter?
Yeah, go ahead, because
Okay. And again, if you guys ever want to write me a letter and just to yell, say I'm a jerk, please go to actorsbreakdown.com. Go to the blog link, and you'll see me. If you want to do the same thing with Vinny, you can catch Vinny DeVingo there, too. You can go to actorsbreakdown.com, hit the blog. Vinny's up there, too. You can write a comment for Vinny or a subject that you want him to talk about, or you want to be a guest on his show, you can put it right there in the comment section. He will get it as well as I will get it on Brian the Hammer or Vinny. If you have a question about Diane, Jeff, or even Matt's girlfriend with the double Ds, please put the comments in there, and we'll try to get you the right answer. And, snakes. I think that's time to go. That's a code for it. Let's just do the damn letters and shut the fuck up. Okay. Time for a letter.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
And hi. And I'm answering the letters. Again, go to actorsbreakdown.com, hit the blogs, go to Brian Hammer Jackson, and you can write a letter there, and I will read it on the air. I haven't done this before, but I'm going to go do this. This letter was going back to February. This is how far I am, but let's start the letters, and let's answer everybody. It says, this is from Veronica. This was done February 6th. I think we're talking about political pay cuts and everything, because here's what she said. It's my understanding that the military pay cut is not so much a pay cut, but rather a small percentage of increase in pay for next year. I am opposed to a cut existing pay, but not as opposed to them receiving a lesser increase in next year's pay. I love you, Hammer. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Veronica. And I want to thank you, and I agree with you 100%. I think we did a subject matter on the military and budget cuts, and they were talking about cutting our budget and our military spending, and she was talking about the pay cuts, and I agree. I think it is about she is opposed to the cut in existing pay, but not opposed to them receiving a lesser increase, and I agree with her, too. We should not. I am opposed to military cuts. Right now, I just don't think we have anybody watching the store. I think it's an open thing because of the fear of the war. We're in Afghanistan. We're looking at North Korea, and we're looking at Iran after 10 years. What have we done? And we're looking everywhere. We're spreading so thin. In Syria, we're looking at it and drawing people out of Afghanistan. It's just... The spending is out of control, but I do not think that our military fighting men and women out there should, nor they should have a pay cut. They're putting their lives on the line for our country. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Veronica, for that letter. Keep the letters coming, good or bad. I will say who they are. And again, you could even ask Diane a question, ask Jeff a question, Vinny a question, and we'll do the same jingle.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
And we hope to hear from you guys soon. Diane, before we go, Jeff, before we go, do you want anything else to say? How's your party doing? Are you getting the response that you want? I noticed on Vinny's show you were a little perturbed because people don't know how to RSVP.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm slowly getting them in.
Okay.
Hey, I got to take off, buddy. I got to go visit Ray Ray and get Diane's dope.
You got it. Ray Ray's on the corner, buddy. Mention my name. Ray Ray. Ray Ray, that's it. If you don't want to pay, go see Ray Ray. All right, guys.
Are we
out of here, or are we going to leave the studio fast, or should we leave the studio with a song?
Let's leave with a song today.
You want to leave with a song today? Okay. Diane, you see the board. Anything you see in there?
Where is your wild thing?
Wild thing. Okay, well, that's a great song. We're going to leave it with Wild Thing, and this song is dedicated to Sierra.
I think she's here.
Oh, is she there? We're on the air. Let me talk to her.
I don't know. Hang on. Let me see if she is.
Okay, we only got 10 minutes. While we're waiting for Diane, I know that was dead air. We're still on
the
air.
She's coming, sorry.
We're waiting for Sierra. We're still on the air. And Sierra is a friend of Matt. She had one conversation with me, and I think it probably lasted her a lifetime. Sierra, are you there?
I am.
Sierra, you're on the radio. You know that, don't you?
That's creepy. She says that.
Already, it's not going well. Sarah, you and I had a conversation yesterday. Was it a very pleasant one?
It was a very interesting one.
Okay, good. Let me just put it to you this way. During that conversation, would you do one of the two things? One, call the cops. Two, get a restraining order. Three, welcome me to the party.
I guess I'll go with three.
Ah, you're a sweetheart. You're a sweetheart. Are you a little embarrassed that I'm talking about the double D's, or is that not anything you want to talk about?
You know, I get talked about that all the time with that.
I like to interview you because here's the problem. That's not fun. When did you start developing? Probably in junior high school, right?
Stop it.
Sierra?
Seventh grade.
Hello? It seems like we got a problem, technical problem.
Yeah. Technical problem?
Sierra, are you still there?
Problem. She answered you already.
Okay. Did you start developing in junior high school?
Yes.
Okay. And as a woman, of course, if you started developing as a man, we'll be talking to you another subject. But as a woman, how did it feel to start developing and knowing that you got breast assists at a very young age?
Normal? I don't know. That wasn't
well,
very
wait,
young.
Because looking at you and looking at your girlfriends, something you are a lot. You're bigger than most of your girlfriends. What is the exact size that you have? Is it the double D, or are we up to another letter?
Can we just play the song? I have to
no,
go.
No, this is a no. I'll tell you why. Because she's going to help millions of other big-breasted girls, and that's what we're here for.
We're doing public service announcements now.
Yes, we are. Because you know what? Big-breasted women have feelings, too, and we must treat them as fellow feelings. Earth. Now, Sierra.
Yeah.
Are you, when you're around your girlfriend, are you the biggest girl there?
Like boob-wise? Yeah.
Yes, boob-wise. Boob-wise, yeah. I understand. Okay. Now, I would say, I'm not there with you, but I would say you probably started to develop at 8th grade. Am I correct?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, kind of. Now, how did you feel self-conscious about this? I mean, when you started developing and the boys started to, you started to know the boys started looking at you differently. Am I correct?
No.
They
still look piece of me.
Okay. Let's fast forward to you. Do you when you took showers in high school? Now, when you were naked, and there were other naked. When you were naked, when you had PE. Now, back in the days when I had PE, we used to shower with the PE gym teacher. You shower naked?
No, you just wear a bathing suit.
Yeah, you wear a bathing suit.
Are you serious? You guys don't go naked into the shower?
No.
Wow, we had to go. Jeff, didn't you go naked in the shower after gym?
Jeff's gone. Remember, he went to go get
some
meds.
Oh, okay. No, seriously, we went in naked. We showered after gym, and we were naked. You guys wear bathing suits?
Yeah.
Do you shower naked when you went to,
when you were in high school, did you shower naked if you had to?
Yes, we did. We showered after PE class. We showered naked.
Matt said they never made them shower after PE in high school.
Matt never showered?
Nope.
Seriously? Matt, ladies and gentlemen, is a friend of Sierra. And they've been friends for a long time, ever since grade school. How go grade school? Have you guys ever been boyfriend and girlfriend?
It was a little more complicated than that.
Complicated? Okay. Has he seen your bare breasts?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's not what you're aware of. I will ask Matt, have you seen her bare breasts? You know, maybe when she's asleep, you pull down on it. You know what
Matt
I'm saying?
Matt just bailed out of the room.
He left the room, too, and this interview is not going well. Two guys left the room. Sarah? Not yet, Sarah. So anyway, you're now an adult. You are 19 years old.
Almost, yes.
Okay. Do you ever use your breasts in your favor to get favors?
Hell yeah.
Thank you, my girl. This
oh
is why
God,
I love her.
Any girl that tells you they don't is lying.
give me an example how you use your breasts to get what you want.
I mean, you just wear something provocative and you kind of can get anything you want.
Cleavage,
I mean,
a lot of cleavage. Cleavage is power.
Asses.
Now, I know you're looking at Diane to your right. Is she at your right or to your left?
At my left.
Okay. What size breast do you think she has?
Could you stop?
I'm in the middle of an interview. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It's time to play the song.
Sierra, what size breast do you think Diane has?
Mom has perfect size boobs, and that's all that matters.
Now, let's clarify what Mom is. Sierra
mom.
Calls Diane mom.
Yes.
And I just broke the story that she has perfect size boobs and that's all that matters.
All righty.
It is all that matters, huh, Mom?
That's right.
Now, Diane, do you kind of look at her sometimes, we're talking Sierra, to come into the house and you see what she's wearing and go, oh, my God? Have you ever said that to yourself?
Maybe a few times.
That Halloween costume.
Oh, the Halloween costume. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Sierra, I want to thank you for the interview about your breasts.
You're welcome.
And the reason I say, and Sierra, you're very aware of the power of your breasts. You're very aware of it. You're very aware that when you bring in a bathing suit, when you buy a bathing suit, you make sure it's like a frame of those beauties that God has given you. And you know that you can get free gas, free drinks, probably a meal now or then.
Oh, yeah, you totally.
And maybe even a grade. Maybe your grade is a C, and all of a sudden you stretch, and that goes to a B+.
Should try that. I'll let you know.
You should try to. You should see how I got through school.
Oh, my God. I don't want to know how you
got through
school.
Oh, I'll tell you at the party, lady.
Right.
They didn't say free willie for no reason at all. I broke out the hardware.
Can I play the song now?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sierra Mist.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you go ahead. Cut it off.
Let's do it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Thank you, Sierra, for that interview. Thank you. Benny DeVingo, Gary Brooks, our new sponsors, Lonnie Taylor, Mr. Ivy, Max Ivy. Thank you, everybody, for joining the show. Going to see you tomorrow. And Jeffrey Bertrand, don't forget Diane's party, and don't forget our party in New Jersey, June 22nd.
Working all week, 9 to 5 for my money. So the weekend comes, I go get live with the honey. Rolling down the street, I saw the girl when she was pumping. I winked my eyes, got into the ride, went to a club, was jumping. Introduced myself as low, she said, you're a liar. I said, I got it going on, baby girl, and I'm a
liar. Hey, Diane, see you tomorrow, baby.
She said, you're the king, so be my queen if you know what I mean.
You know what I mean. Wow,
hey.
See you guys tomorrow on Brian Amberjack's show. Bye, sweetheart.